want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Let's see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips. Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Oh, for my goodness sake, let me turn down the radio. Oh, there's some sort of echo. Echo. That's
right.
Great.
There is an echo. I can hear that.
Yeah, that was fascinating. I have to say my crap detector went off when that last person started saying someone's name on the radio.
It's a shame we don't have a 7-second delay.
I just want to say I used to go to the club scene back in the... I started in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There were a couple of years where I just decided, you know, screw this, I'm going to stay home. So I would sit home and watch television. But then the 80s came along and it became fun again. And one type of club that you didn't mention is before it became very dirty to go to these places, you go to the place where people were dancing naked and peeing and throwing BM at each other. And it was a lot of fun, to tell you the truth, if you wore a plastic sheeting.
Wait a minute. What were the names of these places?
Oh, I don't remember. This is down in New York. But it was a lot of fun watching people exhibiting farfalotis at the blowhole. And there was a lot of times where I believed that many people should have joined the Joe Ardinger Taint Society of BM Eaters Anonymous. Can you believe that Lisa Herndon is marrying a primate when she should be with me, the great platypus tongue? And do you ever listen to the Don and Mike Show?
Actually, I do listen to Don and Mike. Let him go.
Good morning, you're in the air.
Well, that's so funny because he mentioned Joe Ardinger and I know exactly who he's talking about.
Good morning.
We just got slimed.
That's
okay. Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most pockies in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Did you watch the accident?
You got 4 minutes to get Sabian here, or you'll find out.
Did you watch the accident?
He asked for Sabian.
Alan Lineline is not available right now. He's in the hallway picking up a penny someone had dropped. Press 1 to leave your message now.
I guess I'm old-fashioned, but I don't like to talk on the Senate floor about the kind of stuff that has been funded. The taxpayers' money used for it. Like the woman who smeared herself with chocolate and urinated on the stage and invited people to come up and...
How to put it delicately, I guess there's no way to conduct a gynecological examination.
I can't believe you're a professional golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
You better relax, Bob. There is no way that you could have been as bad at hockey as you are at golf.
All right, let's go.
You like that, old man?
You want a piece of me?
I want a piece of you. I want the whole thing.
The price is wrong, bitch.
I think you've had enough. No? Now you've had enough.
Bitch.
Hi, this is Bob Barker from The Price is Right, and I never listen to the Don and Mike show.
That's right.
First of all, membership is for life. Take your time, change your mind, you'll never be rushed. Although usually our members find their apprentice in around 6 months or so. If she gets hit by a train 10 years from now, it's a lifetime membership. You're reinstated for sure.
That's right.
You know, some
something, Archie. Just because a guy is sensitive and he's an intellectual and he wears glasses, you make him out a queer.
I never said a guy who wears glasses is a queer. A guy who wears glasses is a four-eyes. A guy who's a fag is a queer.
Homer, what have you got against gays?
You know, it's not usual. If there was a law, it would be against it.
McQueen, you're embarrassing yourself.
No, I'm not, Mark. They're embarrassing me. They're embarrassing America. They turned the Navy into a floating joke. They ruined all our best names like Bruce and Lance and Julian. Those were the toughest names we had. Now they're just you.
Queer?
Yeah, and that's another thing. I resent you people using that word. That's our word for making fun of you. We need it.
Gay, but not too gay. Alan Line One is not available right now. If you haven't received your prize, hand over and kiss your ass goodbye. F off from Infinity Radio.
I don't believe that you don't remember. How could Sharon not know what happened to you?
She said that she could see George hurt. She said that she was at the club dancing. The next thing she knew was she woke up.
In her room.
In her room, nude, and her stuff was stolen. So she went to the bathroom. Her butt was bleeding.
Up to that point, Jerry had concealed his Percodan dependence.
I walk out with Michael, and I collapse in the hallway. And blood came from every opening I had. Eyes, nose, ears, name it. Blood flow like a damn dike opened up. What had happened was that the Percodan was concealing the pain of a grapefruit ulcer. They had me in surgery like in 20 minutes. I was bleeding to death. Hi.
Okay. Hi, Donna Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Well, you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, here they are. We could have used these guys in our meeting today.
Yeah,
but I still hate them. Maybe they can fix the computers. Computers are down. Where's the shot?
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Bombs, beware!
You know what I do when my computer's down?
What?
Send it some flowers. That always cheers it up.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs.
Marty!
And all the ships at sea. Hey, they're ready to pick you up and shake you in a figure eight. Don Geronimo and Mike.
Yeah.
Up, Mara.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob. And hi, thank you, everybody, for listening. This is the Don and Mike Show in its current incarnation. And it's a new episode. New episode. On this Wednesday, it's only Wednesday, July 30th.
Right.
That's what a meeting with Paging Mr. Herman will do for you.
Paging Mr. Herman.
Here's the phone number for now. 877-365-3636. That's the national number. If you live in Canada, or as some people say, Canada,
don't live there.
Call 800-636-1067. And there's a special number for Washington, D.C. You always get through on this number, 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi there, Buzz.
Is anyone listening?
Hey!
What happened?
Shut up!
Did you wash the ass today?
Someone called for a doctor?
Well, I don't know about you. Hi, everybody.
Hi!
But energy is just surging through my body.
Mm-hmm.
After Mike and I spent roughly 2 hours waiting to speak to the next most powerful man at Infinity Broadcasting. And it was a dynamic meeting of extraordinary proportions.
Exciting.
That I know, the buzz is exciting and new.
Yes.
We walked in the conference room, they said, come aboard, we're awaiting you.
You know it's bad when they have a welcome sign for the big new boss, but there was no welcome sign for us at the corporate center of Infinity Broadcasting in Washington, D.C.
Well, there's a saying that, I know you hear a lot of people say this, but I'm going to take credit for it. Same S, different day.
Mm-hmm.
However, my spin is, same Infinity S, different Infinity guy.
Yeah. And, and you know, and it's always pleasant. It's always civil.
At the beginning.
We, I don't believe we've traveled quite as far to meet, have a meeting, and waited.
I wish, I always say we come out of those meetings, I wish that they'd kiss us. Because, listen, if you're going to F me, kiss me.
Right.
You know, I'm a romantic guy.
Yes, I know.
If you're going to F me, if you're going to violate me, kiss me.
But don't you
give me some flowers.
Yeah. Don't you leave those meetings with the same feeling I have, with just this inner joy that neither you nor I, as capable as either one of us would be of doing those jobs, we're not one of those guys.
No, we're not cut from that cloth.
It really feels great, and you know what?
And we had our
both of us have done it.
Mm-hmm. We had our grown up clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
We looked just as dapper as all those corporate dicks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have hard shoes on.
Both of us have been bosses, and we went F it.
Yeah.
Because really, oh God, that's a tough thing. It makes me squirm.
I don't know how they sleep at night. Frankly, I don't. And looking at the bag man, I don't think he does sleep.
They always look
that
at
guy,
you.
That guy who looked like Steve Buscemi.
He's a tough guy.
Not Scott Herman, but his enforcer.
Tough guy.
Yeah.
You know, you really did impress them, though, because they look at you. I've been through so many of these meetings when you start spewing your radio knowledge, which really I don't think they ever expect. They kind of cock their heads to one side like, how did he know that?
Yeah.
How did he know in this market, all 18 radio stations that are doing this and who's winning and what? It was fun. I enjoyed that.
But even when you come to a meeting well-equipped and you're willing to present your case, no matter what case you're presenting, and you think that you offer, you know, a reasonably objective view of things, it just sucks the life out of you every time where they sit there behind, their power ties and the glass table, and then you get done and you say what you have to say, and they look at you and they make direct eye contact, and then what they say, they don't say it, but what they say is, F you. Next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, bring in the next piece of meat that we're going to tenderize and then barbecue for lunch today. It's been wonderful meeting with you. Here was the bottom line. It was great meeting you guys. You're real institutions in this market. I think you're very important to the company. And all you brought up a lot of really good, valid points today. I'm going to be going back to New York on Friday. And then I'm going to be taking a vacation. And as soon as I get back from the vacation, I promise you I will address these issues.
I'll have a meeting.
Now, wonderful. You know, who am I to complain about a guy taking a vacation? We get lots of vacations. They're built into our contract. However, I don't know if I've ever started a job and 3 days later taken a vacation. I mean, I take a lot of vacations. So does Mike. It's in our deal.
Yeah.
But this guy just got this job, and apparently it's so much he has to take a vacation immediately. And, you know, I wanted so much to jump up on the table and just say, we've been talking to you for 40 minutes. Why can't you make one phone call right now in front of us? Mm-hmm. Just make one. You call the guy.
Yeah, call back guy.
Just call that guy right now.
And say, stop it.
And then you don't have to, like, put us through this charade where we walk out of the building and we're supposed to think that you're going to be any different than the 16 vice presidents that we've talked to before.
Yeah, it comes down to, hey, it's nothing personal.
Yeah,
never is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Really nothing personal.
It's nothing personal. You guys are great. It's nothing personal. It's just, you know, we got to look at the way we do business. And, and you guys are great. So I'll say, you guys, really, you're really great. And you make a lot of value. Well, no, I don't think we, but you guys are great.
And the thing that they don't hear from us, because we don't say that. You can't be rude to their faces. You got to play the game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize that we've been... How many of these would you say we've had, these type of meetings?
Well, as you know, I do. One thing about me is I do keep meticulous records.
Right.
This was our 17th.
17th meeting with the higher-up.
And I don't count, like, all the regular day-to-day crap. I mean, this was in the 12, almost 13 years we've worked for this company. This was the 17th, what you would call, high-level meeting.
Right.
Where there are real... guys who allegedly make decisions in this company, guys who hold very high positions. This was the 17th meeting that we've had with them.
And you know, it's always...
And it was the 17th time that we walked out of the building and just said, that was a colossal waste of our time.
Right.
Why did we even bother going?
And, you know, you always have just a tiny little ray of hope, but it gets smaller every time.
There's a saying I like that I think applies to what you've just described, and that is that the cannibals listened carefully to everything the missionaries had to say, and then they ate him.
Like you were there, would you have a tape recorder in my pocket or something?
I know the feeling.
So we got to go to the corporate place, and of course, you know, our meeting's at noon, but because it's us, why not make us wait? Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. We're used to that. We sit around with the colonel, the general for a while, Mr. Hedges,
mm-hmm. who is, if you're gonna kill some time, he's a good guy to hang out.
Or if you're gonna kill someone,
either way, he would be the man for the job.
Jeff Hedges is a guy who works here and who was also summoned and then just told to sit on his ass and wait until they got around to him.
Wow.
So he had been waiting longer than we had been waiting, and we were sitting in a room commiserating about this. And then I felt bad. Now, not so badly that I didn't like it. Let him take his place first because he was there first. But they came in and they asked him to go to another room,
right?
So they could meet with us, and you know, it's like the law of the jungle. There, it's like, well, Jeff, I know you were here first, but hey, dude, we got to do a show in a couple hours. So
he's a good guy to talk to, though.
Yeah, he is.
He is a good guy,
no doubt.
He got us ready. We were kind of we had a good time.
He can do that.
So the bottom line is, in this meeting that we had, and we're not going to get into all of the details. You can imagine the details. It ended up the bottom line was
bottom line here.
We're great.
We're really important. They love the company.
Yeah. We're great and we're very important.
Now, in fairness, it could go the other way. You know, they might not say that. I was happy to hear that.
Yeah, but they just, you know why they said that. They said that just to balance every time they say,
kiss.
You know, it's like one time when I was a kid, I was watching something about Pete Rose when he was the manager of the Reds. They were doing one of these in-depth pieces back then when it was called Up Close and Personal. And Pete Rose was telling his great strategy for dealing with ball players, and he said, well, here's what I do. You know, in that dumb guy voice that he has.
Here's what I do. If a guy's not doing something right, I tell him like five things he does great, and then I just slip in, oh, yeah, you got to choke up on the bat a little bit. And subconsciously, he don't hear the fact I'm telling him to choke up. He just hears me saying that his stance is good and he's a good fielder. And it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It's the same. We go in there.
Yeah,
we got a couple of objectives. And basically what they say is, F you, F you, F you. You're great.
Yeah.
F you, F you, F you. Hey. Have we told you in the last 5 minutes? You guys are great.
There you go. Thank you. Goodbye.
That's the kiss you wanted.
That was it. No, the buzz, you know, just one time I'd really like, and I'm not a homo.
A deep kiss.
But just one time I'd like one of these guys, yeah, just to grab me, grab my collar, bring my mouth to his hot, sweaty New York breath, and just plant one on me.
Yeah. Tongue and all?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, deep tongue penetration.
I mean, I'm no homo, and I've got nothing against you homos and lesbians out there. But, Jesus, just one time.
Mm-hmm.
We left the building, Mike and I, for the 17th time, walked out, just shook our heads.
Anybody that saw us walking out would probably have understood what we were talking about. It was really just, we had the looks on our face. Yeah.
Just said, well, we're going to have to, you know, plan B. Like we've always thought, plan.
Absolutely.
Plan B, which fortunately for you guys won't start today.
Right.
But, you know. Maybe in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you can give them the right amount of time after the vacation. But we've done it before. We know it's going to happen. We know the end game.
Yeah, it's already. Here's the thing that they pay us a ridiculous amount of money, of which we're very thankful for, and we work at a job that we love. But they just don't have the balls when they call you in to talk to you about stuff. They just don't have the balls to come right out and say, this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way you should do it is just say, listen, you're not going to like this, but this is the way that it is.
Yeah.
Now get out of here and go do your show. But instead, you got to sit through all of the just boring, monotonous, small talk that where you're dancing around stuff and dance. And finally, you know, somebody, and it's normally me, has to say, okay, listen, here's the reason we're here. We really only have two issues that we'd like to bring to your attention, Mr. Scott Herman. And at that point, I'm getting the total one-on-one eye contact with this dude.
Good.
And I lay it out for him.
Very well done. The presentation was excellent.
And he does his thing, and he straightens his tie, and he says, well, I want you to know that I come from a background of talent. Meaning that he came from the disc jockey side.
Mm-hmm. You dive into that, and meanwhile, I'm looking out through that glass, because we're in one of those offices that has a glass wall, so they can see, and I'm I'm kind of checking out the talent over at the other radio stations. And, you know, and every now and then, like, a hottie would walk by.
Oh.
I don't know if you know I was doing that.
The talent.
No.
Well, because, you know, when one of these guys gives you his corporate eye stare, you have to give it back.
Yeah.
You have to look at him, and sometimes they look at you to see if you're reacting. And I was staring right at him, and it was a weird one of those weird moments where he was talking to you, making direct eye contact, and then I was looking at him. And he looked over at me, and then he looked back at you. It was weird.
You know, and like I said,
hate the environment.
Yeah.
He's just like all the rest. You know, I hate to indict them all together, but they are. There's none of them that are any different. And it's not like we got any one-on-one time with this guy. Of course, he had his bag man with him, Steve Buscemi. And then you had just the regular lunkheads. You know, Alan was in there, and Michael was in there, and, yep. You know, Lil J was in there. Why not invite the receptionist in? You called us in for a meeting, but we're going to try to get to the bottom of some of the grievances here. And instead of getting a one-on-one with this guy, and I know you feel the same way, we would have just appreciated the honesty. We just would have said, listen, you know, you guys are barking up the wrong tree. Just shut the hell up, or
just go do your job.
You know, if that's that is kind of the feeling. I don't know about you, but that's the feeling that I got. That they don't want to piss us off.
You're probably right,
but they don't want to eat, and they also don't want to make any wholesale changes.
Right. They like things the way they are.
Right.
You know? Easier. Yeah. They like and frankly, there's part of them that likes the fact that we're not happy. You know, that we're not totally 100% happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're in this weird mindset that if an employee is totally happy, well, then you're not going to get the most production out of that employee.
Right. Because they're doing something wrong.
That you've got to have your employees at Infinity Broadcasting, and a lot of you guys in your jobs around the country, no matter what you do, I know you can relate to this. The boss never wants you to feel totally comfortable, no matter what circumstance you're working in. But as long as you're mad about something that you know your boss could either resolve, Or say, I can't resolve this, so stop your bitching. But as long as he's got that over you, and he can yank that hair, man, he's got you by the ball.
You bet he does. Right. We work for the man.
Yeah. We do, and we hate working for the man.
Everyone does.
We tried to tell the man that today. We said, we like working for the man,
right?
But we don't like working for the men. You know, like and the thing is, really,
it's a good place to be one of the men.
These guys, it's like the Matrix and the Matrix Reloaded. Remember when that agent comes out and all of a sudden there's like 100 of them there?
Yeah. Right.
They're all exactly the same, except they don't have sunglasses on. But they all have blue shirts and yellow ties on, and they all walk around with that same, you know, they're walking around like cocks on the walk, you know, that big, I'm happening. Watch out, I know what I'm doing. I'm a vice president.
How are you?
Do you realize that everybody that was in that room today, with the exception of you and I, is a vice president
of
the company?
Well, did you get the company philosophy, which is basically, you're all piranhas, you're all in the tank, and if one piranha starts to eat another one, you know, go ahead.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Wow.
And really, the biggest piranha, you know, isn't going to come and help. The biggest piranha is just going to say, well, it's the little piranha's jobs to
eat. You know what it is?
Other.
It's sport for the big piranha to watch the other piranhas eat each other.
Oh, yeah.
To see which of the other piranhas will survive. And then that piranha gets to come and sit on the little deck chair right next to the main piranha.
Absolutely. And if the big piranha was to interfere, then the big piranha might get eaten by an even bigger piranha.
Yeah.
Which is really why all the piranhas are just supposed to eat themselves. That's how it's supposed to work. I hope I explained our philosophy.
We walk out of this thing and we just say, you know, nothing's changed. I don't know. I had to get in my car and put that song on that my son gave me, that Kenny Chesney country song. No shoes, no shirt, no problems. That's like my mantra now. I just had I had to get in the car and think, I am not going to let this. And Trey, you might think that this is eating me up, but really it's not. You should have seen me about 2 hours ago. I had to get in the car and say, okay, I knew that this was how it was going to go. Let it go.
Right.
Just let it go. And this is the only.
We are firmly convinced that that our careers are in the hands of the people that have handled it for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. And we are also firmly convinced that they really are very happy with the level of mediocrity that we have managed to achieve. And they don't aspire for us to do any better.
I don't get that.
They don't aspire for us to do any worse. They're very happy.
They just want us to be placated every now and then.
With this mediocre level that we have managed somehow to sustain. I mean, we're not drowning. But we're not swimming laps. We are bobbing at the surface.
We're treading water.
And they're happy with that.
We're not going under.
No.
Anytime soon.
But they're not throwing us a life preserver either.
They've made a little ceiling for you.
They're very, you know what, it's like with their goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
They're very happy with us. They like coming home at the end of the day and looking in our bowl. And occasionally, maybe getting out the fish food and putting a little in our bowl just to see us scurry for it.
Yeah, and we go nuts for it.
Yeah.
You know, and then they don't have to do much more than that.
But on long weekends, do they ask a neighbor to come in and look after us? No.
Do they clean our tank?
No. And what happens, God forbid, one of us goes belly up. You know what? It's down the toilet.
What?
Right.
Because you can always go to the Goldfish store and buy yourself another disc jockey. You can always go spend $1.99 at Petco and find yourself a new disc jockey.
Absolutely.
So,
and it was so friendly and so cordial, and I perceived what I always perceive, that bubbling right underneath the surface is real hatred for us.
And we are not paranoid about that.
I don't think so.
They do hate us.
No. We're not paranoid, but we know what they say behind our backs.
Now, listen, they do hate us.
Yeah.
They do hate us, and that's the one ship that we have.
Yep.
That we're just a couple of steps above mediocre enough that they can't get rid of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, as bad as we're talking about those guys, we're, I think, the only guys that got that treatment today. I think we're the only guys in the company where they, you know, wanted us to come in and say how important we were.
Yeah. While they were telling us that at the same time.
Of course, I say all that of our, like a dupe. I say that like an idiot, and they probably talk to everybody.
I'm going to write down a name for you.
Who they met with?
Someone else? Another goldfish?
If he's writing down a name, it means it's going to be a low-level name. It's going to piss me off.
Well, at least
Guffy.
There, can you read those? Them.
Okay.
Them. Them.
Oh, all right. Okay, so much for my exclusivity.
There's nothing special about our meeting today.
Mm. I thought there was.
I think the only reason they had a meeting with us was that they were afraid we were going to find out they were meeting with the other disc jockeys.
Right.
And then we'd really be mad. You know, like, hey, how come you're not meeting with us?
Wow.
You know, listen, here's the
one. There's one name on that list that I'd accept.
Yeah, me too.
You know, they can meet with him.
Yeah. The thing is, listen, I'm crazy. And they're crazy. And they just love playing this dance with us. And I have to figure out a way to stop being their mechanical monkey that they can just turn the crank on, and then, you know.
It's hard not to react to that.
And then I, you know, go nuts because all they do is F with us.
Yeah.
They just do it now in a corporate setting.
Mm-hmm.
So we've raised the level a couple of notches that they used to yell at us in really, really crappy rooms. Now they yell at us in very plush, very well-decorated rooms, and they yell at us more subtly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because they
in fact,
think,
there's not nary a raised voice in the room.
No.
You've earned that.
They just think...
But trust me, we know, and you know, they're saying nice things, but we know they're really yelling at us.
Listen, they are.
Yeah. But you know what they're saying to us, really, and it's never said, it's never, the voices aren't raised, but it's, quit your bitching.
Yeah.
Go back to Virginia.
And frankly, we'd like, you know, that's the whole reason we have the meeting with these guys. We'd like to quit our bitching. We'd like to just, and then when we offer that up as a solution, to say, well, there's one way to solve all of these problems, and it's nothing radical. I mean, it's not like we're not threatening not to come to work or anything like that. We're talking just about business.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, there's an easy way out, and we'd be very happy with it. Well, we'll get back to you on that.
Yeah.
Let's give them one more chance. Let's do that.
You know, we are catnip. That's all we are. We are just catnip. We're balls of yarn.
But other than that, I thought it was a terrific meeting.
Oh, it was great. It was great. They were warm. Uh-huh. They could have
put out some food.
No refreshments?
Well, Mike had
peanuts.
Mike had to go buy us some Diet Cokes.
Yeah, and then I went outside the other room where he was. And then, you know, it's like really the king in his court. People waiting. You know, the jesters waiting to see the king.
Yeah. The hierarchy thing is really funny, with the fact that this company is so goddamn corporate now. And I think they probably even expected us to come in today and say this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've not made it as mean-spirited as we could. They're probably not happy about that. That, you know, we didn't totally go off the deep end.
Yeah, we could play right into their hands if we did that.
But, the thing is, we know that they know that they think that they know what we're going to do, and we know that they know that they think what we're going to do. So what we try to do is what we want to do, but a kind of modified version so that they don't really know what we're doing.
Good. Good for you.
That's interesting when you're told, you know, that it's not that we don't like you. It's that some people like other things better than you. But not that you're bad. It's that they think that's better.
You're great. You're great.
What's better than number one ratings?
Well, Buzz, listen, I don't want to get into very...
Okay.
Gets back to the whole piranha thing, Buzz.
Rhetorical question.
Gets back to the whole piranha thing.
Because, you know, the specifics, you know, they're great at sending the mixed messages. Mm-hmm. That we went in there with a very, I think, simple agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Two questions.
It became very clear to me halfway through the meeting that in order for us to further our agenda and accomplish the things we wish to accomplish, I see no other reason. We're going to have to have some people whacked.
Whatever.
I mean, really, the trunk of the car, dig a hole in the desert.
Lots of them. We have to get a minivan, though.
Really, I mean, you know, maybe like a full-size Airstream trailer.
Your brother has a cement mixer.
Yes, absolutely, Buzz.
I have a boat. I could take them out into the middle of the river.
You have no idea what this is like. I mean, what am I saying? Of course you have an idea. On every level, somebody in their jobs has some dick at the top who just calls you in and tells you crap you don't like to hear. But the thing about this, it's just maddening, is that they do it like with cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, here's a piece of cotton candy. You like it? Oh, I love it. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I took a whiz on it before you ate it. You know,
everybody leaves the meeting appearing to feel good about themselves.
Yeah, you got to shake hands. You got to, hey, it was great meeting you.
No,
you know.
Thank you.
And the thing is, you know, would you really want to say F you? And they really want to say F you. But you don't. It's just, it's nutty. It's corporate radio.
Mm-hmm. Go back, radio guys. Go back, corporate guys.
You know, we should be grateful that there was a 15-minute window which this busy executive could lower himself to spend some time with you and I.
We are grateful. We are eternally grateful.
The disc jockeys from Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very brief window because, as we saw, there were lots of other people waiting to kiss his ring. So we were lucky to get our 15 minutes to say our piece, to be told to just basically shut up, I'll look into it later, and then to get out of here and go have a good show.
And a terrific view of the interstate.
So it's
from the palatial suite.
So anyway, that's what we were doing today. Nothing changed.
No. We'll keep you posted. Please, stay tuned to this station.
The last thing I'll say on this topic, and then that'll be it. I'd just like to find the factory where they crank these guys out. Because there has to be somewhere a mad scientist with a mole.
Oh, yes.
Because now they come in all shapes and sizes. I mean,
seem to be related, too.
They all kind of look like one guy.
They really do, and they seem to have, you're right, a factory.
So they make these
clones, perhaps. Clones.
Maybe it's genetic engineering that we don't know about.
But not like direct clones, like cousins. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you look at one of these guys where he's speaking, and you go, I've heard that cadence before. I've heard these very, hold on. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's like I'm talking to the other guy.
Mm-hmm. I think there's, you know, if you did DNA testing, you'd probably find, similar DNA in all of these guys. They're genetically engineered.
Well, great meeting today.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
On the heels of what was actually a very nice ratings party last night.
Amen. Very, very festive.
That was well attended and nice to have everybody there. And Alan got up and made just an awful speech, as he always does. And we had a nice chat with Ron and Fez. And Fez has agreed, incidentally, from the Ron and Fez show, Fez Watley has agreed to come on this show and be the subject for Straight Eye for the Queer Guy.
Brilliant.
So you know how they do that thing where the queer guys take a straight guy and make him over? Well, it's going to be the opposite. Where five straight guys will be making over our friend Fez Watley.
Fez has a particular look that he's going for that he wants that I don't think it's not going to result. He wants to look for some unbelievable reason like Teddy Roosevelt, and I just don't see that happening. But you know, Ron Bennington is a guy I could sit around a table and just chat with all night long. He is a funny, funny guy.
So anyway, that's one good thing that came out of the meeting. Was that Fez Watley will be on our show to be the straight eye for the queer guy. And last night, tongues were a wagon about Mike. and the mystery woman, although that was all kept very...
In fact, uncomfortably so. I would have rather had it way up front, and it was not, and that even more disturbing. That was more sinister and catty and gossipy and crap.
Because, you know, people would come by and whisper to me before you and I were sitting together. They'd come sit down, they'd go, "Hey, so... how about that mic, huh?" And then I would say, "There's nothing to it."
Right.
He took her to lunch. We were doing a bit.
Right.
They give me that all. Okay. I got
it. I mean, it was really, really. What disturbed me was just how weird it was. You know, everybody's a little paired off last night. You notice that? There's that one table with, you know, that was really resembled more, excuse my French, a litter box.
But you,
sorry.
Listen, but.
Meow.
Listen. You managed somehow to end up at the table with that lady.
Yeah, of course.
Which just...
You know what? I'm straight up. I'm not going to...
Which got all of the cats... All of their tails were standing straight on end.
I am not playing a game.
Those cats... Look at Mike. Look at him. Look at him sitting there at that table with her. Now, keep in mind, there were other people at the table.
Yes. Yeah.
It wasn't just Mike and this lady sitting at a table by themselves. It was a party. It was a table for four. But at the table next door.
Oh, jeez. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Did you pick up on that?
Oh,
what the hell was that all about?
No, I would not.
I mean, it was different. It was not what I expected.
I would not be honest if I didn't tell you that I was watching that and just, I wanted to give you a heads up.
Yeah, I mean, I would have expected.
I didn't know how to, like, say to, hey, because I was sitting at another table, "Hey, Mike, you know, you just can't stand up at a party. Hey, Mike, look at them."
Yeah, I would have expected a lot more. Right, straight up front, ball busting, and I didn't get it, and it freaked me out. Hey, I want to thank Tammy and Madonna, okay? The two people that hit it head on. Everybody else was just a little weird.
I hit it head on when she was leaving.
yeah, you were funny. But you were funny.
She happened to leave right as I was leaving.
Right.
Before you, shock. And as I was walking out, she was walking out, and, you know, Alan, of course, you know, got me at the car to give me the old pep talk about the meeting today. I'm just sitting there, and he's going, like, you know, this is going to be the best meeting ever.
Right.
He gets his new guy. He's really, you know, all the just the bull ass. And I'm just listening to him, and Rob walked by, and I'm, hey, you know, I'm trying desperately to get out of this thing. But now, hi, Rob.
There's one dynamic at the ratings party last night. Did you notice when it was you, me, and Rob... And John Norman, our wonderful friend John Norman, who's our production guy here. And I really think John Norman got a window into the darkness of our souls and just how really nuts the three of us are. You know, because he was laughing at a couple of things. And then I would look at him occasionally and he's just like, "What is wrong with you guys?"
So as I'm leaving.
And we're going on and on and on and on.
I'm there with Alan and he just won't shut up. And Rob walked by and tried to break away with Rob. And then she walked by and I said,
right.
I said, "Hey, you know, I'm not going to use the language. I said, hey, lady." And I said, "Hey, what are you doing leaving? Mike's still inside."
Oh,
and she
God.
Went, "Oh, come on.
Stop it."
I said, "No, he's inside."
Right.
"I'm going home."
Absolutely.
I said, "Okay, I won't tell anybody you're going to meet him down the street." And she laughed. And,
well, I had friends showing up later, and then I was going to leave. And then when I was driving out, and that's when all my friends arrived, so I went back in. I made a night of it.
And here's a guy. Joe. He was there. A man.
Joe was there late. Joe was there later than
don't
normal.
Don't forget the tie.
Oh, the guy. Oh, you know what?
And we find out whose it was.
We hit the wrong guy.
Whose tie was it?
Well, I thought it was, first I thought it was Steve Johnson's.
And then I thought it was Paul Gorgie's.
And either one of those would have been an acceptable tie burning, but apparently it was some new guy that we didn't know. But he's a slicky boy too, so that's all right.
One of these guys is there with one of these very shiny gold power ties, and somebody says, "Hey, we should set it on fire."
I believe that was me.
And then I grabbed the lighter and lit it on fire.
Well, no, you know what it was. You grabbed the lighter, and then we realized it was the incredible, indestructible tie.
Oh. I was the one who brought over the shot of 151. Then it burned good.
Yes, it burned. But, you know, even when we dipped it in 151...
And then lit it on fire.
This is what we do at Rating Press. When we dipped the tie in the 151 rum...
It lit it on fire.
It like, the rum burned off around the tie.
You know, they should make kids, like, Halloween costumes out of this. Out of this
I mean,
fabric.
Really...
It will not burn.
Design airplanes. Wrap these, you know, airplanes in ties.
Yellow ties.
So we ended up burning about 3 inches off the end of this ragged tie.
At one point, you took your cigar... and you were putting your cigar out on the tie, and then
it wouldn't, the cigar would not burn a hole.
Wow. Then I ripped the tie all the way up from the bottom all the way up to the top.
And then we rolled it in a little...
Neatly folded it.
Folded a bag, rolled it up, and then just left it on the table. Where we hoped.
And I was there, I don't think you were there when the guy picked it up. And he picked it up in the roll and just carried it out. Didn't look at it or anything, just carried it out.
But it wasn't Steve Johnson or Paul Gorgie?
No, it's another new guy. It's not Ed, and I know the Marlboro Man is now Ed. You talked to Ed.
Oh, God.
I know.
Yeah, Rob was witness for that.
That was like a floor show. That was great. I'm sorry you missed it. But is it the guy that looks like Gorgie's stunt double?
Yeah.
That guy.
It's that guy. I forgot what his name is.
You don't need to know it. He hasn't been here 6 months.
So anyway, yeah, thank you, Joe, for reminding us about setting the guy's tie on fire. That was great fun last night.
It was. That was really a special moment.
That would have worked in that meeting today as well.
Yeah. Can we borrow that for a second? You know, I was really thinking at some point, you know, the old traditional thing where you just walk around with scissors and you cut all their ties off.
Wouldn't it be great? Well, listen, it was a pleasure meeting you, Victor Herman.
Yeah.
Thank you, boys. He set his tie on fire.
Good night.
So, anyway, another great, productive meeting. And as Elvis, I feel energy surging through my body.
Yeah.
After this great corporate meeting we had today.
Sure. Awesome.
So, guys, thank you. Thank you. Keep kicking ass and taking names.
Please send us your ties.
And I want to tell you one thing. And I mean it. You guys are great.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you are the best.
Well, thanks for saying that, and thanks for making yourself available. Oh, man. You do it long enough, and it's funny. It's funny. You can laugh at it.
We're not mad.
No, you can't be mad.
We walked out of that building today. I swear on my kid's life. We were not mad. We were resigned to the fact that it was like every other time, but we used to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't get mad. It's just like...
Is it, okay. Just kind of a, you know, you shake your head.
Ruefully.
Then we're going to have to do what we always do.
I said, yeah. There's only one way to get things done.
Plan B.
Right.
Yeah, Plan B. But that won't be for a couple of days. Let's clear these lines, get a caller 100. Phone number is 877-365-3636. I don't think I've done this for a couple of days, the secret sound.
All right.
Still worth $1,000. Be the 100th caller right now, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Not too much of a change. Cloudy sky's going to stick around for the rest of the week, and it's frosty on the windshield. Use the social insurance card to scrape off the windshield if you're heading into town. A few clouds overnight, plus two tomorrow. Keep warm if you're heading out. Dress warmly. 17 now, below.
The Don and Mike Show. If you put a knick-knack on their whatnot, they'll give you a what for. Don and Mike.
I'm now keeping a list. Reason number 1,787 why I really love this place,
mm-hmm.
And this place, I mean WJFK.
Right.
When Mike and I were over there getting treated like dogs today,
yeah,
at the corporate office,
right,
where all of the other radio stations are, and let me first say, thank God we don't have to be in that environment.
Oh, really? Absolutely.
Amen. However, the equipment is absolutely immaculate. I mean, 21st century stuff.
Yeah.
Really.
Everybody but us.
We
are the stepchild when it comes to equipment.
Well, we got 9 lines up now, so we're making some progress.
Would you really want to work there, though? I mean, that's like the parlor. Don't you want to be in the living room where you can just be comfortable?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is comfortable. No, we don't want to be over there.
And yeah.
That drive today, my God.
Right. No, and
piece of cake.
Can you imagine us working in the same radio station that had like 5 other radio stations?
No.
Right next to each other?
Hate that.
We'd have to minimize the bloodshed.
It was just a comment about, you know, and Wendell, don't take it personally.
No.
It's not Wendell's fault that the phones here are constantly breaking.
Right.
Well, now we got 9 out of 10 on one bank, and hey, we're 6 for... So, hold on, no, we're 1, 2, 3, 4 for 6 on one phone bank,
mm-hmm,
and 9 out of 10 on the other one.
That's strong.
So we've just increased...
So you're telling me there's a chance.
10 out of 10 now.
Hey, 10 out of 10!
Right.
Look at that. 10 out of 10. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, Paula. Listen, you are the 100th caller. What's your name?
Melanie.
Hi, Melanie. Where are you from?
I'm from Alexandria.
Melanie, you've got the vivid copy of The Flamingo Kid and also Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. The 80s are back, and on Divid from MGM Entertainment, I would just be glad we didn't give you Valley Girl, The Last American Virgin, Breakin', The Rachel Papers, Johnny B. Goode, Thrashin', and many more.
Wow.
Available at Circuit City starting on August the 5th.
Buzz and I said wow in the exact same tone.
And The Flamingo Kid, please enjoy the late Richard Crenna.
That is a great movie. The Flamingo Kid is one of my favorite movies.
Fun. Me too. And listen, here you go. Tickets also to see Huey Lewis in the News.
Welcome to the El Flamingo, Jeffrey.
Don't miss Huey Lewis live at Wolf Trap Sunday, August 17th, 8 p.m. Go to wolftrap.org for your tickets. Okay, you're going to play for $1,000 now with a secret sound, a common everyday sound. Now, I know we haven't played it for a while, so I'll give you a free listen right now. Listen carefully. There it is. And now it seems so easy now that I have the answer written down. Now that we remember what it is. Are you still there, darling?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You all right?
Yeah. Can you play it again for me?
Yeah, and you bet I will. Right after the guy says, name this sound. And please don't answer until Mike sings like
The Waitresses.
Hey.
Right.
No, I got some intel on this. This one I want to hear you say.
Very good.
Yeah.
Caller, name this sound.
Uh-huh. There's the sound. And incidentally, in the back room, we might want to be running a separate vocal track on Mike just for this rendition. Please don't answer yet. Here we go.
I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I know what boys like.
Yeah.
Boys like. Boys like me.
Yeah. Oh, grand.
Yes, a new twist.
For $1,000, what is the sound?
You can't play it one more time?
Sure. For you? What haven't I done for you? There you go. There you go. There it is again.
Hey, you got a double extra. Hey, look, he's just playing it.
What do you think? Removing your tampon?
Oh, dear.
No.
Would you like to hazard a guess? It is a
four-hour
program.
I've got another sound for you. Listen to this one.
I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I know what boys like.
Yeah.
Boys like. Boys like me.
Yeah. Okay, honey.
You know, they're quick, man.
We need a guess.
Yeah.
Is it guitar strings?
Guitar strings.
Guitar. And...
Oh, no. We're sorry.
No, no, 1,000 times no, but thank you. And don't forget that every guess is a clue for you.
Clue for you.
Clue for you.
But thank you for coming.
Thank you. I handled that much the same way they did our meeting today.
Right, yeah, right.
Thank you for that incredibly idiotic answer and making us wait. Oh, I forgot to tell her. Hold on.
Bye-bye.
Line one. Put her back on hold, please.
Line one?
No, line one.
Line number one, the lady with the contest.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Listen, you're great.
So are you guys. I love you guys.
No, you're great. No, I'm just doing the infinity thing.
Thanks for coming.
You're great.
Bye-bye.
And then here's what they do. God, what an idiot.
Well, that's over. I'll send those two jerks away.
Now, listen, on the telephone with us now is a guy named Michael Anthony. Not Michael Q. Anthony.
There used to be a disc jockey we made fun of named Michael, the Michael Q. Anthony.
Oh, and speaking of disc jockeys, I just have to take 1 second here to say, and this is nothing bad, this morning, right before I was leaving for our high-powered letdown session,
right,
I got a call from Big Don O'Brien. What are you doing?
Getting ready.
For what?
I know what you're going to say.
Oh, stop it. I already told you. I know. So you're going to do your bit.
yeah, you didn't. You forgot, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I forgot I told you.
Are you regretting now bringing it up at all?
No, because I want Harv to hear this.
All right.
So anyway.
No.
There you are.
You know, this guy, Harv Moore, who worked at WPGC back when I was a kid.
How are you, Donnie?
Was a guy who gave a lot of people in this business their first break, including my friend Big Don O'Brien.
Saturday morning, WPGC, Harv Moore with you right now. Let me say, I want to say a special hello to my friend Donnie. He's pedaling his twin bicycle over here right now. Donnie, come up here, and we'll do the show together. Would you like to go to the water park?
Listen, there was nothing like that. But back in the day, when I was a kid, he was the morning mayor of right. WPGC.
Saddle in here next to the morning mayor. I'm going to show you how these buttons work, Donnie. Anyway. Press this one and see what happens.
Anyway, you bastard.
he was
very nice to me, and I was just a kid, and I was interested in radio, and I used to
press something, flimsy gals, the morning mayor, Hob Moore, with my friend little Don Geronimo, who's standing next to me. I'm mentoring Don right now.
Anyway, he used to actually let me come to the studio on Saturdays, and I would, like, put the dots on the records and stuff. And,
really not a Saturday for Hob Moore until little Donnie's bicycle arrives at the parking lot.
And he was nice to a lot of people. You might as well include Don O'Brien in that as well.
Little Donnie O'Brien, yeah. Little Donnie O'Brien coming up here. Yes, I've got a parakeet for you named Buddy.
So Big Don O'Brien from WQSR calls me up at home this morning. He says, hey, you're not going to believe this. I'm doing my show last night, but this poor sap has to do a show like from the Timonium State Fair or something like that. Some
little Donnie O'Brien, little Donnie Geronimo, look how I'm holding these 45s. Come on, take one as my gift. Slide it off.
So I'm going to get through this now.
Okay.
I'm going to get through this now. And I want you to know that what you're doing right now is 10 times worse than what I could have said about you and that lady. Yet.
I know. I'm sorry. Oh, then I'll stop. If you feel that way, I will.
Well, only because I think Harv might be listening, and I'll tell you why.
How are you, Harv?
Rob, stop writing jokes.
Lay down on the high five.
Rob, that's Rob.
Rob, the 45s was Rob's, too.
So,
I'm done.
Anyway, Big Don calls me. He says, I'm doing my show at this... And I won't use the word. He said, this gosh darn fair.
Yes.
Where you're not going to believe that I'm out mingling with the, you know, the maggotry. And,
right.
And I'm having to do my show by a sheep. And somehow they're taking phone calls, and he's recording the phone calls. And the guy says, hey, you know, I used to be your boss. I bet you don't remember me. And Big Don said, who is it? He said, it's Harv Moore, the boy next door, the morning mayor. And as it turns out, he was coming back from Ocean City.
Right.
To Buffalo, where Harv Moore lives and works on the Buffalo airwaves. And Big Don called me to say that Harv Moore said to pass along his best to me also. And
boy, do I miss that young man.
And now you're going to feel bad.
What?
That Harv Moore listens to us every day in Buffalo and is a big fan of the show.
I love you, Harv. It's just all out of the goodness of my heart, you know. And this bit started, germinated, actually, when little Donnie was going to be driving over there. And he mentioned the fact that he'd stop in and visit you when he was a boy. He would pedal his bicycle over to the studio, and, of course, I ran with that theme, and I've turned something that was very special into something sordid and dirty, and I sincerely apologize to the morning mayor, the boy next door, wear something flimsy, all that good stuff.
Yeah, Harmore, one of the good guys.
There's the bell. He's here.
So anyway.
Donnie's here.
If you're listening, Harm, you know. Let me just say you know, because anything else I say, Mike will somehow twist.
That would be,
you know.
I know what. I know what boys like. Boys like me.
Stop it.
I know. And he was one of your influences.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you can't imagine that, when was this, 1971, 1972, the guy was absolutely on, he had like a 50 share in the morning and would take phone calls from kids like Don O'Brien and me,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, would, and I know you're going to twist this. He would, you know, unheard of for a big-time major market guy to say,
right.
You know, okay, come on down.
Come on down here, boys. The studio's a little hot today.
Oh, no.
Might want to slip out of that shirt. There we are. And I'm kidding. I'm joking. Stop saying God. I'm just having fun.
Because I used to do stuff. Like, I used to bug him on the request line when I was like 72. I guess it was, or maybe 1970. I was 12. I would call up and say stuff like, you go, pick a phone. WPGC. I go, hey, Harv Moore. This is Harv Moore, the morning mayor. I say, this is Mike Source from Norback Road in Rockville. How you doing there, my young man? I'd say, I was listening last night at about 6 o'clock, and I heard Jim Collins play the record I'm Doing Fine Now by New York City, but instead he said it was Quick, Fast, and In a Hurry by New York City, and he got the name of the record wrong. Hey, thank you very much. You're an astute listener, young man. I'll have a record album for you.
Perhaps you can come by. Little Dottie, come down, pedal your bicycle down here. We'll do the show together, and then maybe catch an afternoon matinee. Put your bicycle in the back of the trunk of my car.
And he was also instrumental in making a transition from AM to FM. Mm. He was one of the first guys to do FM Top 40.
Right. Mm.
So anyway, Harv, if you're listening up in Buffalo, I still remember all the great things she did for me. And please don't listen to what Mike's saying. Please don't listen.
I'm not saying anything. I'd like to. This is a tribute to Hop Moore. Okay. How are you? The boy next door, the morning mayor.
quite a tribute.
Thanks a lot, Donnie. Thanks for coming by, dropping by. I really appreciate that. Yes, the morning mayor. Let's check out the toast and coffee time. That's another guy. Sorry. Wrong DJ.
Anyway, hi, Harv.
Hi, Hob.
You're listening up in Buffalo.
How are you? WBUF.
And always nice to hear from Big Don O'Brien at WQSR. And, you know, as bad as our meeting was today, can you imagine the horror of having to do your show next to a livestock?
Big Don O'Brien and Don Geronimo still getting over the nightmares, Harv. Yes, really, they're getting back to normal with their lives. I'm happy to report both of them are living very normal and productive lives. There's nothing to worry about. Absolutely. Everything's doing just fine.
Rob?
Rob? Let's check out your WPGC weather wardrobe. Wear something flimsy.
Can you stop it?
I'll stop. I'm good.
Not you, him. You over there.
WPGC.
Buddy Sorrell.
How are you?
You stop it.
Hop Moore, the morning mayor.
Might I remind you, Rob, you wouldn't have your job if it weren't for the same circumstances.
That's very true.
So someday, someone's going to be saying to you, oh, and then you went up to the Don and Mike studio riding your bicycle, Rob.
Then he woke up in the morning and had a cranberry juice and his butt was bleeding.
Sad thing is, you actually did make me dress up in women's underwear. He never actually did that for you.
No, we did.
That'll be on the Rob Spiewak story.
Anyway,
hi, this is Harv Moore, the boy next door, the morning mayor, and I never listen to the Don and Mike show.
Yeah. Hi, Harv. Great guy.
How are you?
Great guy. Shut up. Stop it.
Good day.
Okay, he has good guy.
You know, try to take. We had such an awful day.
I know.
Try to take one small bit of good news that I had today.
I'm very sorry.
One of my mentors, Harv Moore.
Sincerely sorry.
Showed Buffalo.
I'll try to keep a straight face whenever. There's something about that. I don't know why. It's the same thing with Captain 20 when you went on that show.
Well, now,
this is the man that did gerbil races.
Yes, and I'll explain.
Tie a string to them and see where they run.
No, I will explain the concept. There were three, like, Pinewood Derby-style tracks.
Right.
Munsters, Batman, and I think the Adams Family.
I hope you're aware I hang out every word when you speak. You know that. I file them away. I memorize them.
And what you had to do was, if you were lucky enough to be on the Captain 20 show, you would he wore a spaceman suit.
It's time for the gerbil races.
And you would get to come on TV, and he'd say, okay, with us today is little Mike Source from Rockville, as I was on the show one time, and said, which one of the... And they called them hamsters.
Hello, 911. I've got a young man down here at Al's Magic Shop that's in a great bit of distress. We're going to need you to get an ambulance over his stat.
And if you picked the right hamster that won the race, you would win a bike with a banana seat. And yeah, the other place that I worked when I was a kid was Al's Magic Shop on Connecticut and Pennsylvania Avenues down to...
You better get that ambulance down here right away. There seems to be a hamster there. We're having trouble.
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
And I'm really going to do this. I'm going to call your mom.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find out, because the details to me are very sketchy.
My childhood?
About when you worked in the tobacco fields.
Okay.
And I'm going to call your dear sainted mother, Mary O'Meara, as I do regularly anyway.
Right.
I'm going to call her up.
Find out and get some dirt on my childhood.
Yes, I will.
Don't forget when Mike was playing peewee football, they took him to the prison to entertain the people in the prison.
Yeah. We played a midget football game.
Captain Hook.
At a
medium security.
Captain Hook. At a medium security prison.
Yeah, but see.
And I'll never forget one of the guys said, I got hair on my uni, too. That's what he said. I'll never forget it. I will never forget. He was talking to another guy, you know, and he was like making a statement like how macho he was.
Yeah, but these people are not important to you, though. These were not your mentors, not people.
I didn't have mentors.
These were just convicts.
Yeah.
These were just.
Well, I don't know how this was arranged, but we were playing a midget football game to entertain the prisoners.
Always entertaining.
I mean, we went up there to. That was the purpose of it. Was for these guys to watch a football game with the. Kids, I don't know. I don't understand.
All right.
But the tobacco fields, you know, I told you that I was hung from a tree.
Well hung.
By a wedgie. Did you know that?
Yes, I do. And I'm just
the last day when I quit.
I am filing this all away right now.
2 weeks into it, I quit, and they didn't like that. So they gave me a wedgie and hoisted me up on a tree.
Wow. Hey, Charlie just went on the web. And if you go to WQSR.com, you can see poor Big Don O'Brien.
broadcasting live, I guess yesterday, where he's in front of this tent that has like a hula skirt around it. Look at that.
WQSR Tiki Karaoke Hut.
He is so funny. He is so Don O'Brien, isn't
that
he?
That poor guy. He's saying to me today, you're not going to believe where I am. And I was saying to him, you're not going to believe where I'm going. Yeah. And he said, no, I can top it. This is worse than going to any corporate meeting. I had to do my show from a fair last night where I had a sheep right next to me.
It says, Big Don broadcasts live and performs karaoke renditions of Frank Sinatra, the Beach Boys, and more at the Hut.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don, remember when... my name's Marty. Remember when Harv went out on the street and did the hitchhiking thing?
Harv Moore did a lot of great bits that back in the day were considered controversial.
Hmm.
Harv also came up with the missing W, where for months they just called the station PGC.
Do you think seriously that you would have gone into the business like you did if it wasn't for him?
Probably, but I would not have been seriously as acclimated to it because I was behind the scenes at a major market radio station where actually I was hanging around the day. One guy says, why don't we do a contest called The Missing W? Mm-hmm. So for 3 months, the station, except in the legal ID, just called themselves PGC. Mm-hmm. They even took the W out of the jingles. And the deal was, if you found the missing W, you would have win a $10,000 prize.
Like it was
Dr. Strange's letter.
It was hidden somewhere?
Yeah, it was hidden. And it was hidden like by the Washington Monument or something, where they actually had a giant wooden W that they had hidden in some bushes.
That's cool.
And for the longest time, it was PGC, and people would call up and go, is this WPGC? No, we've lost our W.
It's great.
You know, and that's the kind of dumb thing that made people think.
Absolutely.
And anyway, that's...
You don't get that anymore.
Nope. No, you don't.
It was Dr. Strange's letter.
Dr. Strange's letter.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, really, think about a radio contest that a guy remembers that didn't work at the radio station like this caller. That's pretty significant right there.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Like Nick Sticker.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, I know it's me. I actually won a bicycle off of the Channel 20 show.
Were you there for the hamster races?
I called in and won.
You called
and,
in?
Yeah.
You weren't one of the lucky children that was there in the studio audience that day.
Come on, now. They didn't let inner city children come down and do that.
I went on the Ranger Andy show back home.
You know, you're probably right. Ranger Andy.
Ranger Andy.
Hi there, Mike. It's Ranger Andy.
It's only the second time I won something off of a show.
I want to help you prevent forest fires.
Yeah, well...
You know where most... Hey, little Mike O'Mara, you know where most fires occur?
Between your legs.
In your underpants.
Ah, yes, sir. Put it out. It's...
Let me put out that fire. Come here. Let me pull out my hose and put out that fire.
Take me, Ranger. Oh, God.
Okay, the guy, the Indian guy, he's got to wait one break. The guy with the Brocket 99, because we got a break here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Mike. Come see what Ranger Andy has in this dark, dark cabin. Come on in. Scared, Mike? Hello. It's not the same.
It's not.
I'm sorry. It's not a hollow victory.
I never know how far I should go with the Harv Moore, too.
I don't care how far you go. I thought that today he might be listening.
Okay. Well, I mean, he knows. He probably knows I'm kidding. Probably.
Probably.
Well, I mean, I hope he knows I'm kidding.
Hello.
For God's sakes.
Harv, in case you are listening, I have never told Mike about any of the abuse.
You can't help it. Your comedy mind cannot help.
In case you are listening...
thank you from the bottom of my heart for not revealing those deep, dark secrets.
You know,
back in the prize closet.
I've always maintained through my years of therapy that it was... I used the name Marv Whore. And no one's ever figured out it was actually... Harv Moore. Rob, why don't you just read them yourself? What is it this time?
Mike, it's Harv Moore, the boy next door with a subpoena. Oh, God.
Hello. Are you there?
Donna, Mike.
Donna, Mike, hi.
Hey, I just want to let you know the missing W was on the Wilson Bridge.
On the Wilson Bridge. Gotcha. See, now that was a contest over 30 years
ago. Well, how do you hide it on a Wilson Bridge? I mean, everybody would drive by it.
The back or something over there.
I think it may have been in that tower.
In Charlie's house.
The tower that we now say Charlie lives in.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Intricate contest.
And people
all right, thank you.
It was a great show.
Thank you, my friend. See you later. We got a break. Just think, one day, maybe 30 years from now, people will be talking about us and going, do you remember how much those guys used to complain about their bosses?
Do you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking we ought to steal that contest.
Well, Mike, here's the problem. In order to steal that contest, we couldn't do a national radio show because we do the show to so many different radio stations.
Maybe down the road.
Maybe after vacation.
Yeah.
Maybe after vacation.
We can do that contest.
We can do that contest. On WJFK.
Right.
Maybe so. Okay. So, listen, yesterday, this thing with the Brock at 99. Oh, Jesus, we really have to do a break. Hey, Michael, I'm very sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right.
Mike was bringing up very traumatic memories for me of my childhood.
I remember Romper Room and the gerbil races. Captain 20.
Can you hold on the line?
Sure.
We'll get to the bottom of this Brocket 99 thing?
Sure, no problem.
Okay, that of course, are the Ernie K. Scar tape.
Yeah, lots of unanswered questions about Ernie K. Scar.
We will get to that right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Do drive safely.
All right, we're in the victory circle. I can't get it.
Alan Line 1 is not available right now. He's in the hallway picking up a penny someone had dropped. Press 1 to leave your message now.
Is anyone listening?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
One more.
Did you watch the ass today?
Not just lowbrow, they're no-brow. Don and Mike.
We're unibrow.
Unibrow.
All right, we got into this yesterday. We're going to get to the bottom of it today. About 10 years ago, we stumbled on this tape of what we thought was like a low-power FM Indian reservation radio station with a guy named Ernie Scar.
We've heard many different rumors. The very least is that this is a bit done by some disc jockeys.
Mm-hmm. Now, Joe went to a website.
Joe.
Bought the CD.
Mm-hmm.
The guy apparently went on his website yesterday. Buzz looked at it, and,
right.
And the guy was just rambling about Joe and about how...
Yes.
I mean, he was happy that we played part of the CD on the air, but he's mad at Joe.
I don't know where this guy has become the proprietor of this Ernie K. Scar bit. And it just seemed like much ado about nothing, actually, because, you know, the bit is funny, but it's kind of a throwaway tape that we played on the show. But
yeah.
There's a mystery behind it, because it's, is this guy from a reservation? Is it a reality thing, or is it, you know, just a total fabrication? And if so, who did it?
Let's hear one more before we bring him on for the Brockett Alcohol and Drug Abuse Hotline.
Let's phone up that Brockett's alcohol and drug abuse hotline. See if it's really for real, if it can help you, or if it's just a load of bullshit. I mean, we can't go around having false information perpetrated about, you know, drugs. So.
It was much more sophisticated than the other tapes that we had.
Easier to hear.
Hope there's somebody there.
This is good. Ernie K. Scar.
Hello, Brock. Alcohol, drug abuse hotline. Are you best or high or what's the problem?
No, we just want some information.
Oh, information. What do you want to know?
Well, where could we get a case of Jack Daniels?
Well, okay, we don't have an outlet on the reserve. I would say the best thing you could do is if you know somebody in Lethbridge, they could bring it out for you.
How about drugs?
Well, we could go down to the Bridge Inn. We got contact down there. And they could bring you some amphetamines or some speeders. I think we got some acid, but it's not very good stuff.
Okay, thanks a lot. You've been a big help.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Thanks for calling. No problem.
So it's a bit.
I love it. How do you not love that bit?
Yeah, it's great.
I just have to break in here for a second to mention again. Either we are incredibly boring and unpopular, and everyone has stopped calling today, or these phones are busted.
Wow. Man, we're still, I mean, the whole bank is dead.
They're all dead.
Wow.
Would somebody please come in and fix the brand new state-of-the-art digital telephone that we have? I find it hard to believe.
No, it is hard to believe because it's not real.
Nobody's calling. The phones are always ringing.
Can you bring up a dial tone? That one's ringing.
10. On 10 I can.
Well, now they're all ringing.
9.
Hmm.
Hold on. 11. 12. No. Negative.
They were, I just called and got Joe. I think it was just a momentary glitch because normally when those lights, there's like dots there, lines are on. When they were dead before, we didn't have those little dots.
So that was what, just a glitch?
Just a glitch. I mean, I just called and got Joe right then. And it was nice to talk to him. He's very friendly.
Now they're all ringing.
Okay, well, never mind. I guess, well, let me ask.
America was so into those tapes.
Were you bored or did you try to call and couldn't get through? Hello? The line just went dead.
Huh.
I mean,
it's not even a hang-up. It's just deceased.
Yeah. And look at the line number 9, Mike. It's got that pulsating light to it.
Yeah, like it should be on hold.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No, it's not. These phones ain't right. Do you want to mention that? These phones ain't right. Okay.
Man, I wish we could get that working.
Let's go to Michael Anthony. If you're trying to call and you can't get through, I apologize. We're working on the telephone situation. And I love it when one of the lines goes dead, that instead of the little bright light, it actually has an X, like a tic-tac-toe,
mm-hmm.
almost like the way you would X out someone's eyes if they were dead.
Complex to figure out, actually.
Yeah. Let me see. The way I look at it now, 1 and 2 are dead, 11 and 12 are dead, 5 is dead. See, 6, 7, 8, 1 and 2 are ringing. I can't. And now they're all filling up.
It's really maddening. If you stare at that, it's really maddening.
Gone crazy.
Can't figure it out. Meanwhile, over at the other place, with the other radio stations that get no ratings, you should see the equipment they have.
Everything's it's all shiny and polished.
You should see the incredible phone system they have at WHFS, which incidentally has about 12 listeners for the whole radio station.
Right.
We have 12 phone lines. And we can't get 10 of them to work at one time.
I'll tell you right now, it's really maddening, you know.
They've got a great system. Every WHFS listener has a red phone under a pie plate, and they just lift it up, and it rings right to the studio.
It's nuts. I guess, like a Batman thing.
Exactly.
I get it. So listen, Michael.
Yeah.
Hi, thanks for waiting. Now,
you're welcome.
About 10 years ago, we got the original tape.
Yep.
What we thought was the original tape of Ernie Scar. You know, Cover Your Stinkweed.
Yeah.
Did you make that tape? Did you make these tapes?
No. No, okay. I have nothing to do with the making of it. But I did find out about it through your show about 10 years ago.
Now, what can you... Obviously, you've taken this very seriously, and you've investigated this. What is the deal with these tapes?
I started a website. I found out as much information as I could, and I heard that some guys at a college radio station did it. I didn't buy that. And then I found out two cops broke into a radio station one night and did it, and didn't buy that. And those are just rumors that are all over the web.
Well, what's the truth?
Finally, well, I heard that there was a guy that basically made this as a private gag between him and some friends and played it at a Christmas party.
I don't buy that either.
You don't buy that either?
Well, it seems a little too polished.
Robbie, would you grab the original one?
Yeah.
Because
it's
pretty
well done.
These new ones are polished, but Mike, let's go back to the original tape.
The original sounded like it could come from a low-powered FM.
Which sounds like an LPFM, mm-hmm. and sounds like someone's just running an air check machine. I mean, listen, here's the original one. From over 10 years ago.
Rocket 99, rocking the red.
It's a little inside, but even wows like an air check should wow,
right,
you
right.
know, in between the cuts.
There, Roger. Up and Adam, it's 8:30 on the reservation with Ernie Scar. Good morning, here's some AC/DC to get your day started right.
So that's the original tape. Mm-hmm. Then Joe goes to the website and finds this. And listen to the quality.
Yeah.
That's what I like. After a meal, before a heavy date, Listerine makes my breath smell great. But if I hadn't accidentally swallowed some one day while gurgling, I'd still be spending way too much on Branvin. You don't need the mint flavors and pretty colors of the other mouthwashes upsetting your stomach. Listerine gives you a buzz and you keep it down every time. I'm Clarence Keeps a Buffalo.
Huh?
Listerine, it may f*** you up, but you'll have the cleanest breath in town.
Now, that's still funny, but it's not as funny as...
AC/DC.
Like a guy doing a real radio show.
All right, rock and roll. It's early scarring with you this morning. How you doing? Reservation time to get up and get at 'em. If you got a job to go to today, it's going to be tough if you're working outside. Not a very good day. Kind of gray, kind of overcast. Let's take a look at the forecast.
Reservation weather.
As a matter of fact, 30% chance of rain today. Look for a high of...
The background with the tom-toms.
Zero. And a chance of frost. Cover up the stinkweed. Winds west today, 37.
Okay, so that's the original tape we heard, Michael.
Right. Then we hear some of the fresh stuff.
Excuse me, Mike. Joe goes on the web and gives us this, finds this stuff that's crystal clear.
Right.
A couple of questions.
Sure.
Who really did it? Just give us the answer.
I don't know.
So it's a mystery to you, and you have the website.
The mystery's part of the allure of the tape, you know.
How did you get this new crystal clear material then?
I have been talking to a guy via email for about 4 or 5 months who came across my website. And I'm convinced the guy's an insider. And I'm also convinced that you know, he was in the business. He was in the radio business. And that he made the tape. But I've never been able to get anyone to give me a name or admit to it or anything.
Now, Mike, is it possible that you and I are being played? And I remember one time a guy came down. Didn't he have like a mechanical robot doll or something?
Yeah, and it was a total hoax.
That we believed was some kind of invention. As it turns out, the guy was just
BSing us.
Absolutely goofing us.
For his own enjoyment.
Yeah, now listen, are you goofing us? Are you just doing this? You're getting on the radio and we're talking about you. We're mentioning your website. Are you goofing us?
No, I'm not goofing you.
And in all the research that you've done over this bit, you haven't been able to really get a definitive word as to...
I received over 500 emails about this thing in 3.5 years since I first put it up on another website.
Yet somebody is sending you these tapes and you're selling them and these CDs and they don't want any money for it?
No. Because there's a political stigma to this.
Because of the reservation, Native Americans are...
Racism and the Native American groups and things like that.
All right, now here is our main witness, Joe Ardinger. Joe for the defenseless. Defenseless.
I just had Rob card up the new CDs that I bought, the first one, and it's part of the tape that we have. These have been, you know, with today's digital technology, they've been shined up.
Okay, nice. Hold on, let's listen. That's the same as the one we played with the bad quality.
69, rocking the reservation in
style. Wow, that's weird, huh?
Roger. Up and Adam, it's 8:30 on the reservation with Ernie Scar. Good morning, here's some AC/DC to get your day started right.
You know what this is like? This is like the first time you ever heard a CD.
Yeah really?
And you went, God, it's so much better than a record.
It's still a mystery, though.
Now you'll hear the whole AC/DC. Oh, the whole song plays?
Yeah, but after it, it's just like the tape we have.
Yeah, go ahead, fast forward it, Robbie.
I like to listen to AC/DC, incidentally. I know you've heard about speed dating and speed reading. That's speed listening.
Get all the notes.
And you're like, you don't have to take any speed. You don't have to have like 10 cups of coffee.
No, not necessary at all.
Hey, Tim's loving this, though.
Tim thinks we changed formats today.
Man, let's rock.
I don't want to give him any ideas, but has anyone thought of ACD Thunder?
What do you think Sabian can do? You can't do anything to stop this.
So find Sabian.
Right now, Tim's screaming at the radio.
This is the first good thing they've ever done.
Arr, up at Adam.
Got a full look at a switch. On the reservation, hottest rock, we're up at 99. ACDC.
All right, rock and roll. It's early scarring with you this morning. How you doing? Reservation time to get up and get at 'em. If you got a job to go to today, it's going to be tough if you're working outside. Not a very good day.
That's clear.
Kind of gray, kind of overcast. Let's take a look at the forecast.
Reservation
matter of fact, 30% chance of rain today. Look for a high of 6, low overnight tonight of 0, and a chance of frost. Cover up the stinkweed. Winds west today, 36.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
Does anybody know what cover up the stinkweed means?
Cover your pot. Tonight.
Yeah.
You're growing your pot.
Cloud. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Stay in and stay warm today. If you
can. You never heard Tony Perkins say that on Good Morning America.
When there's a frost or freeze warning,
cover up the stinkweed.
Rocking the king.
Well, you don't want to jump out of this because it's got the,
okay, the bad words here.
Okay, wow. So, Michael.
Yeah.
You don't know who's made this tape.
I don't know. I interviewed a guy named Mark Campbell who pretty much everyone in that area is convinced that Mark did it.
He's a DJ turned TV weatherman, right?
Right, right.
And it sound, I mean, does it sound
Buzz,
like him?
Buzz, do you know more of him?
No, I just read this on the website, and I was trying to help the story
and
along.
Does he sound like this guy when you talk to him?
No, he doesn't sound like it to me, but he was one of these guys at a wacky morning zoo thing back in the 80s, and I guess it was the only guy that they could pin it on, so they decided to pin it on Campbell, and I interviewed him, and, you know, and he said, I'll even take a lie detector, you know, test.
This has become,
so we don't know the source.
No, I'm going to have to ask Joe. Our main detective, Joe Ardinger, Detective Joe Ardinger, to follow up and try to find the man behind Ernie Scarr.
And do you, to the best of your knowledge, is there any new Ernie Scarr material coming out, being made?
No. Not the, some of the stuff you played apparently was from 1989.
Right.
And the rest of it was from 86.
And Michael?
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of friends?
Not many, Don.
I just thought I'd ask.
No problem.
And your website is brocket99.net.
.net.
Yeah. Now, you're selling these things.
Yeah.
But the guy who did the bit, he's not getting any money from it?
You know, the people that I've talked to say that this guy really doesn't want to associate in any way with it. And the guy that I you know, think it might be, just you can't get anything from anyone either way. They're so tight-lipped about it.
So you think it's because of the politically incorrect hit that's come down, that if this guy, say, the weatherman who's on TV now, probably would want to distance himself?
Yeah, but why wouldn't he just call this guy and go, listen, you know, don't use my name, but that's my bit. So, like, give me 50% of all the CDs that you sell.
Right.
Right.
Okay, well, listen, Michael, thank you, and I guess we'll be in touch if we need anything else.
Okay.
All right, thank you, dude.
Hey, thanks a lot, Donna, Mike.
See you later. Oh, one last question.
Yeah.
Excellent. Rob just had this question. Well, credit, Rob. How did you get the material?
When I first heard it from you about 10 years ago, I started looking around and couldn't find anything until about 3.5 years ago. And I basically got it from other websites that are selling it. And there are other, actually, people can go and download it for free, the whole thing.
Detective Ardinger, anything you'd like to add here?
I was just saying that he ran into these incredibly clear copies on his own.
Yeah, there's, I mean, there, no, I didn't say that. I said they were mailed to me, but.
Well, yeah.
By who?
They were mailed to me by the guy that I had been emailing with for about 3.5, 4.5 months.
And who's that?
I can't give you his name.
Why?
Because he doesn't want to be involved with it.
He doesn't want to be involved with it, but he's sending you CDs.
Yeah, but I'm telling you that I don't know that this is the guy.
Thief? Thief? Why
all this secrecy? This is really weird.
Because from what I've heard, and this is only from what I know, because I'm not a Canadian
citizen. You know,
citizen,
for quite some long time, all you knew is what I told you.
Right. And freaks that carry your luggage up the road. But from what I hear, this guy, if even though these things were made in 86, this guy could be dragged into court and fined heavily because of the laws up there if it's found that this is a racist...
Maybe I'm totally off base, but the more I hear your voice, the more I think it's him. You, and that we are being played by you right now, and you want to sell this CD, and I'm fine with that.
Say this for me. Will you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Say, arr, up and at 'em.
Up and at 'em.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
I think you're Ernie Scar, Mike.
Well, I've been accused of that. But
you have been accused of that.
I have been accused.
Say rock and roll.
Rock and roll. I think it's because I've heard the tape so many times.
Yeah, all right. It's not... Who knows?
Okay.
I don't think we'll ever figure it out.
All right, dude. No, we will. I promise we will. We have Detective Joe Artiger working on it.
That's D-U-H-T-E-T-T-I-V-E.
Yeah,
but I'm
Detective.
Telling you, I've been getting phone calls from all over the country, including Canada, since we brought this up, and nobody is going in the same direction.
Well, here's my question.
So everybody's got a different theory.
So we are getting phone calls from all over the world, you know, America and Canada. How come none of the digital lines are ringing?
Because people are listening.
No, no, Joe, look. I'm not being like JP. On the other lines, all the things are going off there. I know when we do something and people are just not calling because they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
But all day today, look at this. There's one line ringing now. There's got to be some problem with these telephones.
I think it's got the gribblies.
All right, nice talking to you, Michael.
All right, thanks a lot, Donna, Mike.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hey, before we go...
I don't trust that guy.
Me either. Before we go to break, could I request Brock at Used Motors?
Is that a new one that we haven't heard?
Yeah.
All right.
Particularly, can you load that in?
Brock at Used Motors.
And hold on. Let me see. That's cut number 3. Let me just see if the phones are ringing. Or working. Hello?
Don?
Hi, Rob.
How you doing?
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Mike. Oh, you know what, Mike?
What's that, Rob?
Tell Buzz I said hi.
Buzz.
Yes.
Rob says hello.
Give him my regards.
Rob.
Mike.
Buzz says hi.
Grant. Don.
He just hung up on him.
Hello?
No, I didn't hang up on him.
Oh, he's...
Uh-huh.
See? Wow. The line just died?
See?
Wow.
All right. It's obvious the phones are screwed up.
Something wacky. This way it comes.
Okay, here is Joe's tape. They're Joe's favorite tape.
Ever had to get to the radio, but you had this problem.
Dirty CD, I think. Everything's working today.
Things are working great at HFS, though.
Guarantee that.
Hi, Joe. Is it CD number 2?
Okay.
Ever had to get to the radio, but you had this problem? Born with a tooth. From Brock at Used Motors, and I'll let you in on just a little bit of a deal. If you come down here with a case of beer, I can give you a good deal on an old 65 Chevy Impala 4-door. You can put both the mother and the father-in-law in there and the 6 cousins and as well their sisters. And don't forget grandma, too. You can even get 5 others in the trunk if you take out the spare tire. And on Wednesdays, you can drive.
All right, Joe.
Best part.
Well, when is the best part?
It's coming up with the customer satisfaction.
Okay. It's on you, Joe.
Drive into town and hang out around Galt Gardens. It doesn't have any hubcaps and a window in the back. It's just plastic. But a good deal at only $4 to $8 if you bring me a case of whiskey. Come on down today. Listen to one satisfied customer. Okay, we'll see what we got here. This son of a bitch car better start. I gotta get to the rodeo. Rush is running a little rough. And Whitey car. He's a spark plug.
And no one will take credit for him.
He's a piece of shit.
Hey,
Joe.
Okay.
Would I be correct in assuming that perhaps the Ernie K. Scar experiment has come to an end?
Bloom is off the road.
Well, yeah. Although there is one other cub that I happen to know is funny. Here it is.
I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I know what boys like.
Yeah.
Boys like. Boys like me.
Thank you.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, hey. Be careful with that. That's the most powerful trank gun on the market.
Huh.
Got her in Mexico.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They say it can puncture the skin of a rhino from a...
Ow! Yes! That's awesome!
What?
You just took one in the jugular, man!
Whoa!
Yes!
Is this bad?
You should pull that out.
Wait. Pull what out?
The dart, man. Got a dart in your neck.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you. But you're crazy.
I'm so tired.
The Don and Mike Show. Mildly cross-eyed, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I know this sounds pathetic. I'm going to give out our phone number. We generally don't do that unless you're doing a contest.
Right?
877-365-3636. Because they think that the digital lines are fixed.
Rob.
What is he doing? A Sex in the City dance? What are you doing?
He's singing along.
So
the background singers on this song and watching Rob do that is comical.
See, now I've given out the request, the command to our audience, and now there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, now let's see if we can take a call,
yeah.
All right, and actually keep the call on the air. Okay, hello, Don and Mike Show. Wendell was just in here working with the equipment. What did he do?
He reset everything.
Good. He reset everything.
That should do it.
Okay. We're right here. Hello. Don and Mike.
Hey, pal, it's Dave Letterman. I've got an important bulletin for you.
What's that?
I'm quitting my TV show.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to be the new lead singer for Van Halen.
Wow. This is trying to make it.
I'm goofing you. Hold on. Here we go. Try line 7. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, line 7 works good, Dad.
All right, Mike. Hey, Wendell.
Wendell?
Hi, buddy.
Wendell, what are you doing on line 7?
Checking line 7.
That's no proof.
All right, hold on. Yeah, because he's in the building. hello, line 6. Don and Mike. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
I think that was probably her phone.
Well, it could be,
I
mean, call with a decent phone.
Okay. Pick a line this time, Mike. 3. Line 3.
Congratulations. This is Max Baer Jr., Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies, and you just won the CBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
You threw it in on Wednesday.
Once a week.
That's you threw us off there.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is line 6 again. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, my friend. And you're calling because...
Just making sure the phones work for you guys.
All right. Thank you, dude. Michael?
Yep.
Goodbye.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, do you think all those idiot corporate guys are listening to the show right now?
I'm sure they're realizing right now that the quality might surprise you.
Think they're getting into their limo to take their helicopter to the airport to fly back, and they're in the car right now going, we fooled them today.
We duped those guys.
They get in the car right now going, this is it? This is that show?
Why did we even meet with those bastards?
You know, I bet that with the exception of Alan, who's forced to listen because it's in the building, and Michael, who I guess listens occasionally, none of the rest of the people in that room even have ever listened to our show.
Right. I mean, and nobody's listening today.
Hello?
The limo has XM.
Hello? Yes, hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Yeah, see, now I know they're working. This is the listener factor now.
Right, absolutely. This is somebody who doesn't want to respond. Now, go ahead. What can we do for you?
I just want to let you know the phones work.
Okay, thank you. Now we know it's not a problem with the technology. Thank you, Wendell. Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You want to try one more?
Yes, let's try one more. Line number 8.
You got it. Hello?
Yeah, hello, Rob. It's Dick Van Patten. I get back next Saturday night. So I see you'll be here Sunday, the 19th, I guess, right? The 20th. So I guess I could see you today, guys, then, on the 20th. Because I have to leave again on Monday. Okay, let me know how we can work this out. I go back to Salt Lake City tomorrow. Yeah. But I'll be home today. Bye-bye now.
Low energy, Van Patten.
Scott Herman, what do you think now?
There you go.
Are we still good?
I think he's probably pretty impressed that we get celebrities just calling us randomly.
Just when we're
Max Baer, right. Dick Van Patten, David Letterman.
Trying to see when the phones work. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, just want to let you know the phones work, buddy, and all my best to you.
Okay. No, you're supposed to say best.
Yeah, but if it's really F you, it's all my best.
All my best.
Which I emailed to you last night, Rob, and I hope you knew that it wasn't meant that way.
No, I'm in on the loop, and I will sometimes return that with a simple best.
Best.
Ever best always? Is that ever done? No.
No. With me, it's either best.
All my best.
Or all my best.
Sometimes I'll throw in regards.
Regards is curt and cold.
Yeah. Regards.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Go Red Sox.
Yes.
And Yankees, fuck me. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, that's a worthwhile call, because I'll tell you something. I'm as pumped up today as I've been in a long time about my Boston Red Sox.
Hey, today,
today's date is
August, excuse me, July 30th.
Right. I just feel good about the team. I like the team.
Go ahead, wax a little bit here.
I do. I have my days.
I'm going to roll.
Bill Miller, grand slam home runs from both sides of the plate last night. Two grand slam home runs. That never happens.
That's good.
It's never happened before.
Couldn't be happier for you.
I mean, he's like, he bats fifth or sixth.
Red Sox trail the Yankees by a game and a half.
Maybe earlier in the lineup. I'm not sure whether he does that or not.
Red Sox are 62-42 with a record of 596.
Right.
Oakland is 60-45 with a record of 571.
Hmm.
Note the date, please. Wednesday, July 30th.
Gotcha. They just made a trade for a closer. You know, another closer.
That's how they get you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that, though.
That's how they get you. That's how they
They're fresh off their winning series against the dreaded New York Yankees. And they're nipping at the New York Yankees' heels. And
sucker.
It's fun.
He's a sucker.
I'm going Sunday. Going to the ball game Sunday. I'm getting tickets to go up and see him in Boston on the
Mike
August.
Is like one of those women on Cops. Comes to the door.
I know.
Opens the screen door. Face is all bloody.
Mm-hmm.
Who did this to you, ma'am? It was my husband. Okay, we're going to arrest him. No, no, don't arrest him. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. That's the Red Sox do that to Mike every year.
I'm very, very, my highs are very high. My lows are very low.
Sure.
And I know I will bring you great joy if these plans that I have for postseason activity, if they crash and burn. But right now, it's just a nice feeling. And it all hinged upon Sunday night's game.
Oh, and hold on. About Cops. And I don't want to stop your joy. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Being
joyful. On Saturday night, you know, Cops is one of those shows. If you're at home on Saturday night, you're sitting around,
mm-hmm.
you turn it on. It's right. Always there. It's always reliable.
Yeah, very reliable show.
Hello.
Hey. Yo, yo, yo.
Howdy.
Hi. Here's a little brain twister for you, my boy. Just 2 weeks away from going to college now.
All right.
When you and I on Saturday night were playing cards, having our great weekend together, and remember, no shoes.
Right.
No shirt. No problem.
No problem.
Do you remember on Cops, because we were watching Cops while we were playing cards, when the woman called the cops to her house, what had her husband thrown out the window? It was one of the best Cops I'd ever seen. Do you remember, Bart?
We were playing cards. I wasn't watching Cops.
No, but you turned around every once in a while to watch it.
Yeah, but for the most part, I was facing away from it.
All right, okay, maybe you remember when I tell you. Her teeth. That apparently...
He threw her teeth out?
Well, apparently, she said to him, "You've been eating too much cheese." At which point, he took a giant piece of cheese and shoved it in her mouth, pushing her dentures, her teeth, out of her mouth.
And they tried to go downstairs to find the teeth, but there were too many cigarette butts.
See, there you go. That's my point. But now you have, I guess it was San Bernardino, California. It really doesn't matter. You've got about 20 police officers who are climbing on the roof of this house, and one cop says, all I see are cigarette butts. And they show her. It's like,
did all
they
cream today?
Oh, sorry.
What was that, Rob?
Traffic was up.
Oh, I'm sorry. The girl's doing traffic.
Tell her we're not taking a break for about 2 minutes.
Okay. I tell you, this studio's got the Griblies today. Anyway, best cop, one of the top 10 cops shows I've ever seen. They spent 10 minutes with this old lady who was standing there without her teeth. But he did not really hit me. And they went in the bedroom to see the guy, to talk to the guy. And he was an older guy, about 60. Fat, but like with Speedo underpants.
Oh, gross.
And one of those guys that was, who obviously signed the waiver,
right,
and was just absolutely unoblivious to the fact that the cameras were on, just sat there with his gold chains around his neck and his little underpants, his big gigantic gut, big gigantic ass, just saying, she said to me that I eat too much cheese, so I wanted her to eat some cheese. I wasn't being violent. I just pushed the cheese in her mouth. And there you go, baby. That's when my teeth went out the window.
They couldn't find the teeth?
They never found the teeth.
Wow, Jesus.
They had a lot of cigarette butts. Great episode of Cops.
Yeah.
Really great episode of Cops. All right, bud, thanks.
Okay.
For backing me up on that.
Okay.
You are a great son.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I'll see you. I love you.
Okay.
Bye.
Hey, Buzz, what was that cop show that you were telling me about? Buzz has got to pick the click here.
On Comedy Central, I like the show. I saw it last week.
Oh, the Reno show?
Reno 911, which is really a parody of Cops. It's people from, like, improv groups pretending to be cops, and they shoot it exactly the same way. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, good. I want to check that out.
Yeah. And that's it, because the Cops that was on after that was one that was a... shots fired on and the way Saturday
we can,
night.
And the way we can kind of tie it all in together is that in the event that the Red Sox don't make it to the postseason, the cops will be called to my house. There'll be a disturbance.
No, but you will be like the woman. Mm-hmm. You will be there bloody, and you will, and they will say, hello, we're looking for Pedro Martinez. And they'll say, who did this to you? Pedro Martinez did. We're going to arrest him. Don't arrest him. I love him.
Bring him back to me.
I love him. Don't.
Bring him back for spring training.
Don't arrest him.
Spring training next year, please. Right. Help me.
I don't want your dream not to come true.
Well,
1 year.
You know.
1 year.
I don't know what I'd ever do, though, if they really won.
Well, you listen.
I mean, you know,
even to admit they're never going to win the World Series, right?
I'm counting on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a part of my identity. You know, the struggle is such, I mean, I don't know what I'd do. A big part of my life would be
if the Red Sox ever won the World Series.
Right.
Let's fast forward in time. Turn on your pretend hats, everybody. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Mike O'Mara, if the Red Sox won the World Series. Please listen.
I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I know what boys like.
Yeah.
Boys like. Boys like me. That's probably the way it would go.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Flatlining.
Let him die happy.
You, look at him, he's flatlining.
All right, Mike, you were just singing You Know What Guys Like.
Yes, of course.
And I do have something from Cosmo here. I've not been able to get to this. I think this would be a good time to do it today.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Well, no, this is about sex, and you teased us with it last week, and I've been eager for it.
Cosmo Sex Survey. These magazines drive me nuts.
Right.
What do guys really want? Hold on to your headboard.
Oh.
We got over 15,000 hot-blooded boys to spill their covert sexual desires.
You know already, I can tell you, this is going to be the biggest bunch of BS.
Read on for the touch that turns him to jelly, the deed he's dying to try, and the mattress maneuver he loves more than life itself. Seduction Secrets. If she's totally turned on... Oh, wait on music, Rob. I'm just teasing.
This is what boys like?
What guys are really aching for.
All right.
Oh, for instance. Here you go. Before I get to the actual stuff. What female body part turns you on the most in bed? My answer would be... the teats. Mike?
The butt.
Buzz?
The place.
Okay. And Rob? Yeah. Rob's answer is a closed mouth.
Rob?
29%? The butt. Mm-hmm. It's why men love doggy.
Right.
20%?
Nothing like it.
Breasts? Mm-hmm. I mean, what can you say about a good fitty tuck? I'm just reading from Cosmo.
They say that in Cosmo?
19. Legs. Nothing better than getting wrapped up in them. 16%. Tummy. A soft feminine belly feels so nice. 11%. Neck. It's so sexy when a woman tosses her head in ecstasy.
This is getting me going here.
5%. Hair. Love running fingers through it or grabbing on tight. Buzz. Vagina. Did not make this list.
I'm not even right.
This can't be America.
You think you want to play?
Can't be America. Okay. I'm all choked up.
Buzz is mad. Okay. We'll get to the sex survey in a second. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We really, really like the Don and Mike Show. It is the best damn thing on the radio.
Message now. Happily cruising aboard the rudderless ship, Don and Mike.
Well, listen, on tomorrow's episode, stay tuned for another exciting edition of Joe's Book Club.
Yay! Yeah.
Seabiscuit. Tomorrow with Joe DiNardi.
Seabiscuit, I read an article, Don, that it's a movie that's making grown men cry.
Fags cry. See if it makes Joe cry.
Joe.
Joe's no fag. He was there last night with his girlfriend.
I like her. Very nice lady.
Me too at the ratings party. And the question that I have every time I see her is, what are you doing with him?
Why?
Yeah, why? Right, Buzz. Why? Why?
And I think he's pretty head over heels in love with her, too.
Yeah. I believe so.
I think we might have another marriage in the future.
I believe so. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I can't see Joe getting married.
Yeah. Could happen.
You couldn't see me getting married either.
Yeah. That's true. Listen, is your better half there? Not your better half, but your other better half?
That's me.
Hey, Joe.
Howdy.
Any chance you're ever going to marry that girlfriend?
There's a chance.
Yeah!
Not that.
I told you. Does she know it?
Yes.
How long you kids been together?
About a year.
There you go.
We've known each other for a long time, though.
Oh, that's right. She told Frida at Charlie's wedding that you guys, like, knew each other, and then your paths didn't cross, and then all of a sudden,
right,
like, years later, you found each other.
Yes.
What do you think she loves me?
Joe's not just a name, it's an idea.
Yeah.
And what do you love most about her? Please say her giant. Please say her giant vagina.
No. She's really very, very intelligent, and we get along very well talking about philosophy and stuff like that.
It's amazing, but it's true, ladies and gentlemen. I had a chance to chat with Mrs. Artinger last night.
Joe is regretful.
And she's sharp.
Yeah, she is.
Right.
Deep.
She's a scientist.
Did you ever think, Joe, that maybe she's doing a research project on you? Did you ever think that perhaps this is...
I am quite a specimen.
To get some kind of degree that, you know, she says, okay, I'm good. She goes to the professor and says...
He's high-functioning.
To get this bachelor's degree, I'm willing to live with a 40-year-old phone screener pothead.
Joe, I need to break up with you. My experiment is over. I finished my thesis.
She's getting a master's in retardology.
Hello, professor. I don't know what to do. He insists on having sex. But I can't live a lie, professor. I can't live a lie.
Can't say that on the radio.
And the professor says, I suggest you read the movie The Rookie with Al Pacino and Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell has sex with the girl Layla, yet they are not emotionally attached.
It's a strange combination.
It sure is. Maybe she, you know, maybe it's like
she might, and I want to throw this out as a might. And don't jump on me when I say this, but she might be making Joe smarter.
Mike?
I'm sorry, I've heard things come out of Joe's mouth that have absolutely floored
as
me.
As have I.
Then it's just stuff he's memorized. Just stuff he's heard and
he's parroting from her. But I agree with Mike, for if he were to go in the other direction, how could he find the office?
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think it's good. Joe, don't let her go.
Right.
Led her.
Joe, we'll see.
I believe, and again, I'm going to get back to this movie, The Recruit, which is on DVD and on pay-per-view now, where they show how the CIA has incredible ways of bugging people mm-hmm. and putting cameras on people, that she is doing some kind of research project on you. And that mm-hmm. the whole time you think you have a relationship with her, there really is a room full of scientists mm-hmm. that are watching you. When she leaves, for instance, they're counting how many times you scratch your ass,
right?
How many beers you have before you crash,
mm-hmm.
what you watch on television, how many times you get your jerk on. These are all of the questions they're trying to find out.
That's just called a relationship.
Yeah. Well, I wish we all could consult our precogs to find out how it's going to end.
We're like two peas in a pod, and I know she's listening, and I love her very much.
Oh, all right.
Oh, listen
that's
to
lovely.
That. Joe. Hi, lady. God, how pussy-whipped you are.
That's great.
I am.
Welcome to the club.
That's right.
All right, bye, Jordan.
Bye-bye.
Yep. You gotta know her.
Sorry.
You gotta know her.
So everybody's hooked up now.
Well, you're sad because even Joe's hooked up?
Everybody's hooked up.
Hey, Mike.
Except for me.
Hey, Tiger.
Yeah?
Who went to lunch yesterday, Tiger?
Yeah, but that, you know what?
Come on, Tiger.
It's not what all of you guys have. And sometimes it makes me sad.
Mm.
It really does.
You could have that again.
Yeah, I know.
You could have that again very easily.
Yeah, but I
you just clap your hands.
It's not like I want it. And
okay.
That's the saddest thing of
then
all.
Don't be sad. No, be happy.
I have my moments.
Be happy.
I have my moments.
You have no pussy-whipped
I don't.
Woman to answer to anymore.
You know, it's not all that bad to be pussy-whipped.
Oh my God!
Wow. It isn't. I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, but I'm. With that said, no, not for a long time. I'm thinking.
No,
you know.
I don't know. You're nuts. You're just going through your the male period is what you're going through right now.
You think so?
Because you're saying stuff that is just ridiculous. Are you saying?
No, I am.
You want to be pussy whipped?
No, I'm saying that I am somehow.
You miss being pussy whipped? Maybe a little. God, I'd love a weekend pass from it.
Well, sure, but you'd want to go back.
Well, because...
Because you're in love.
Because I love her, yeah.
Mm.
But still doesn't mean I love her, but it still doesn't mean that she's not violently insane.
Well, they all are.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, I look around and it's okay. What you have. Perhaps it's the grass is always greener.
That's what it is. That's absolutely it. That's absolutely it. And for all the stuff that you think is so great...
There is some emptiness in my life.
But... Those of us who go through this daily jail term known as marriage, and you know, and you think it's paraded out as well, you know, and in some ways it's... Well, it is like being in a prize fight, and you're staying in all the way to the
mm-hmm.
to the very end.
Yeah, see, I've had two fights, and I'm 0-2.
Let me just mention, Mike, the grass is always greener in the cemetery, too.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't want to go to the friggin' cemetery.
No, I mean, I like what I do now. I mean, it's, last night, for example, at the ratings party,
mm-hmm.
you know, you guys were all sort of heading back and heading back to your homes, and I didn't have to.
Right.
So that's why I was the last one there.
Oh, come on now. Come on now.
Now, Joe left before me, too. Then my friends arrived.
Don't have... a pity party because you, my friend, you
yes.
can live the life that none of us can live anymore.
I know.
That's right. You can see that hot piece of ass.
Yeah.
and you can do something about it.
This is true.
That hot piece of ass walking down the street, you can actually walk up and say, whatever it is.
I love you, I love you.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, it'll be like the old days.
But,
you know, one out of ten, you're in the All-Star game.
This is true.
So come on now.
All right, I'll cheer up.
Come on, buck up.
I'll cheer up.
It's just buck up.
Hearing you Joe, be
Joe,
happy.
Joe was one of the Bachelor guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Charlie was one of the Bachelor
be
guys.
Be happy. You're not pussy whipped.
All right.
I want to tell you something. I'm happily married. It'll be 22 years next week.
Mm-hmm.
But it kills me every day I'm pussy whipped. It kills me. You didn't know, and I know you'll think now that this is a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm on the way to that meeting today.
Right.
Ring, cell phone. Hello, where are you at? I'm on my way to the meeting. Okay, where are you at? I'm on the Beltway. Don't be short with me. I'm just concerned. I said, no, I'm fine. Hang up the phone. 5 minutes later. Ring. How come you're picking up the phone? I said, because it rang. I thought you were there. I said, well, no, I'm not there yet. You told me you were there. No, I'm not here yet, but I'm getting close. And at this point, I go, what? She goes, I'm just trying to call to be nice. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hang up the phone. Go to the meeting. Come out of the meeting. Call her up. Hello? Baby, you won't believe this meeting. I can't talk now. I'm having swear to Christ.
I don't doubt it.
No exaggeration.
I don't doubt it for a second.
At all there.
I don't doubt
the
it for a second.
The whole way there.
Remember?
The whole way there. She's calling me every 5 minutes. I'll give you another perfect example. Yesterday morning. Now, she's up in New York, moving the stuff out of the ill-fated New York apartment. She's
right
with our friend Marilyn. So she must have called me yesterday. Maybe. And I know everybody knows that I exaggerate, but I'm not here. Four times between 7 and 8 o'clock, I guess on Monday.
Okay.
Just to ask questions about how Bard had the flu and the dog was peeing and mm-hmm. she was upset about stuff. Well, on Tuesday, that was yesterday, I got up, started doing my stuff about 8 o'clock. I called and I say, hey, is Frieda there? And Marilyn says, no, she went out to get a newspaper. I said, no problem. Tell her I'll call her back. So I'm waiting, I'm looking at my watch, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm thinking, you know, I am into this fitness thing now.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta do my thing on the treadmill. So I wait until 8:30, and I still haven't heard from her. I go, screw it. I go down, I get on the treadmill, I start getting out. Now I'm going like, you know, okay, I'm at 7.1, I'm busting my ass, the phone rings. I take my music off, I get off the thing, I pick up the phone, and I answer like this, yes? And she goes, you don't have to be such a dick. Click. So now I got to go. Now, meanwhile, I'm dripping with sweat. I'm going.
There's nothing worse than getting interrupted in the middle of an exercise session.
I have to call back. You wanted pussy whipped.
Yeah.
This is pussy whipped. I got to call back.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, listen, I'm really sorry that I hung up.
Hotline. Telephone for you, Dawn.
It can't be her. She's not in the listening area. Hello?
My sources tell me that you're saying unkind things about me.
Wow. Now, who is...
She has a very long reach.
Wow. We are simply discussing being pussy-whipped. Mike is saying he missed it, and what I'm relaying is the story of the other day when I tried to call you, and you weren't there, and then when you called me back, and I was on the treadmill, and I answered the phone in the way that I do when I'm busy, and I said, yes, and you said... Well, never mind. I don't want to talk to you now, and you just hung up on me.
You bitched at me for calling while you were busy, like I could know that.
Yeah, because I had been,
waiting. And what did I say? A present is coming for you tomorrow, and a present came for you today. I'm thinking of you while I'm away. And I'm thinking of you.
Who called you like
all
three
you care
times?
About. You just want to know who ratted you out.
Huh? No, I don't mean who called you to rat me. I don't care about that. Is even, you know, gee, the list is very small. It's either your mother or our son. That list is small. What I meant was who called you. I called you that day four times before you called me back.
Sorry, I was out running.
Right, and then when I was running, when I didn't want to be interrupted, but I stopped and picked up the phone and said, yes, all I have to do is just say,
Yes.
And you answer the phone crabby in the morning all the time.
You say, I don't want to talk to you.
That's why I don't call you first thing. That's why I had to call you back.
Hey, Mike.
I feel so much better.
Do you miss it now?
No, I feel great.
And keep in mind.
Yes.
I love her.
I know you do.
She's my rock. I love her with my heart and soul. I swear to effing God.
Right.
I love her. I love her more than anything.
Even when I'm out of town, sounds like you really miss me.
Now, come on. Don't make... See, this is what, Mike, this again is what being pussy-whipped is about.
I understand.
Now I'm going to have to say to my wife, who already knows this, how much I love her and how much I miss her.
You just keep it up. Keep on talking about me behind my back.
I'm going to call that boy of ours, and I want to tell you something. I am going to take away his car.
But unfortunately, the people who rat you out know who writes the checks in our family.
So you're admitting it was him.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying anyone you punish, I can reward.
That's funny.
All right, darling.
All right, my darling. Watch yourself.
Listen, it's funny. You didn't know that I was working out, but you did know that I was doing this bit.
Well,
right?
Right. When you talk about me behind my back, it gets back to me. Just watch yourself.
And it would be very unusual for Bart to call Frieda up in New York and say, Dad's working out now.
But it's that radar thing.
Yeah. No, listen, and baby, the whole reason, and now here I am being pussy-whipped, explaining this to her, was that Mike was feeling down.
Everybody was trying to Joe Ardinger about his love life. Everybody's hooked up, and I...
Everybody has...
And I'll have you know, I'm with a friend this week that's single, and I'm not saying... Oh, how much married life sucks. I say, look how sweet my husband is. He wrote on the bulletin board, on the blackboard, I love you, and put X's and O's there.
And I love you too, darling. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you wrote.
Right. And that's what I said to you every time I said, Mike, see this?
Yeah, I know. You're kind of in a no-win.
I say every time to my face, you're right, my darling.
I do say it.
I appreciate that.
I say it to you more than you say it to me.
I appreciate what you say to my face. Now, would you please say it when I'm not listening to...
I listen, honey, when you're not here, I say
you did. Before she called, you did say, I love her.
You did.
I do love you.
Mm-hmm.
I say it all the time.
I love her butt. That's when it happens.
No, I don't love your butt. I hate anal.
Yeah, right.
You know that.
Okay, you watch yourself.
Okay, I will.
All right.
Just come on, humor me. Was it the boy or was it your mom? I'm not going to call either one. You have my word. But
why would I rat out my sources?
Okay, I'll find out.
I have a theory.
Bye, honey.
Goodbye, sweet pea.
Hey, I love you. See?
Yeah, that's part of the game. I have a feeling it was your son. I just have a feeling.
Me too. Here's the sound of ball busting. That's Frieda working on my balls. Seem like Rocky? That's Frieda. She's going to work on my nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, you rat.
Guilty.
Okay. You rat.
He loves it.
You rat. And after all that stuff this weekend we had, after all that stuff with that, you know, you and I, you know, forever and all that stuff, you turncoat.
It's dear to miss me, isn't it?
Yeah. It's going to be good to miss you. All right, I'll see you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
You know that your son has a laugh, and I am not in any way, it really sounds similar to the way your brother laughs. When he does his real, ha, 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 ha.
Agreed.
I love that, and I love both laughs. They're great.
I got him to confess within 5 seconds.
Hello?
I got him to confess within 5 seconds. Now, can she really not hear me? Or
I really think it was a problem with her cell phone.
That must have been it.
Oops, hold on. Wrong number.
You know, they're both into what you're doing, though. That's the important thing.
Yeah, that's nice.
I'm just putting a nice spin on it.
Now, don't you miss being pussy-whipped?
No.
See?
Now, I didn't like that as much as you handle that whole thing better than I do.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, sweet pea.
I broke him right away.
I broke him.
I'll just have to do a little shopping for him while I'm up here.
You know, it's like he's no John McCain, I'll tell you that. I broke
because
him good.
Because he's proud of the
fact that he loves his mother.
He loves his mama.
Yeah.
All
right. I love you, too. I'm just... Listen, the whole thing here is I'm trying to help a friend.
There you go.
A little down right now because everybody else has a relationship going.
Well, we have told him time and again that he could come stay with us.
I understand, and, you know, you might get that call, 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning.
We are there for you.
All right, baby. I love you. I'll see you later.
All right, goodbye, sweetie.
All right, goodbye.
Now, hold on.
You are a great house.
Hey, babe.
You know, I am going to have to ask this.
A burning question?
Well, I'm just concerned about the lingering, the hanging, I love you. I like having it back.
Yeah.
And that's another way that she just plays me.
You've had this conversation before.
And I know that she loves me, but I like hearing it. If I throw it out there, after 22 years, I like it thrown back.
Hello?
How come when I say I love you at the end of the conversation, you don't say you love me too? I mean, I know you do, but it's like a dangling participle.
I'm sorry. Try it again.
I love you.
Bye, sweetie.
Oh,
man.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Now she's just having fun.
Right.
It's killing you.
Yeah, you know what it's like? And the thing is, it's worse than the dickheads at Infinity. Because her I love.
Right.
Them I could do without.
Right. Yeah, you need somebody to show you the Quan today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it ain't going to be her. And it ain't going to be my son who ratted me out. So now, Mike.
Who loves you, baby?
Throughout this whole exercise, you feel better now?
I do. I feel much better.
Good. Now you feel better.
I'm much perkier.
There you go.
And I will continue to seek out the shallow, meaningless relationships that are getting me through this tough time.
Good. Get your noodle wet. Go out. Explore some uncharted territory.
Why the hell not?
Do it.
I deserve it.
Do it.
That's right.
And furthermore, let me say one more thing. I want to buy you a whore.
I don't pay for it.
That's right. I'll pay for it.
Done.
What if it was like one of those movie things?
What do you mean?
Where I called one of those whores and I said, listen, I want a whore
who
doesn't look like a whore.
Okay? Right.
And I'll pay. I want to come down and we'll go out on a date with Mike. And fall in love with Mike. Pretend to fall in love with Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gives him just the best sex he's ever had.
Right.
And then she just disappears.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I'm going, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then the whole thing can be available on videotape.
No, but you don't fall for her because you just use her for the sex.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. But I appreciate the offer. I mean, wait, if you can't buy a hooker for your friends, who can you buy a hooker
exactly.
for?
Well, I'd buy you a hooker. I'd buy you a high-class hooker. Not an hourly thing. I'd buy her for a night for you.
No.
I'd buy you a good one.
No,
not from Baltimore. I'd buy you a good one.
You know, it's kind of like, it's really like the amateur thing. I prefer the amateurs, you know.
So, I mean, not find not like a homeless girl or
you
something?
You don't have to find anybody. You don't have to find a homeless girl.
Just some girl walking the street?
No, please. No, just now. I'm starting to feel bad again.
So just find a hey, you, come here. I got a nice ride. Get in the car. Take her home. You know, clean her up.
Right.
Do a pretty woman thing. Take her out. Get her some nice clothes.
Yeah. Bad Julia Roberts, you could call her.
Hey, platypus face. What are you doing?
Pelican
Have
dog.
Have her
hey.
And Cameron Diaz come over. Right. New and improved Joker spot.
Be wonderful. And then maybe we could even invite Bonnie Franklin.
Come over. We got a break. This Cosmo thing is going to have to wait until tomorrow. Sorry, Buzz. I know you love the sex talk.
Yeah.
But we got hit today with a real foul ball for the first time in I don't know how long, and I swear on my kid's life, Craig Wilson really wrote a pseudo-gay funny column today about his love of Seabiscuit.
Fantastic.
All right. So we finally have a real one, not written by Rob, not written by me, not from the book. This, on my kid's life, the real one, the only cure for horse envy is a trigger in your life. From USA Today. So if you've got the paper, you can read along at home.
Very good.
Craig Wilson time coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend, I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Scott Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
They're not here to make fun, not here to replace. They just want to bring back some memories. Don and Mike.
Thank you. You are a great Beach Boy.
Yeah.
Tonight here in D.C. at Wolf Grap, the Beach Boy is there.
Well, she got her daddy's car.
It's Mike Love with a bunch of...
Anybody else?
Maybe.
Al Jardine room?
I don't think so. I think he's on this one. I know Dennis won't be there. I know Brian won't be there.
No.
Isn't Al Jardine at odds with him?
Yeah, they're at they're like at the lawsuit stage.
Right.
They have like their separate groups, right, that they tour with?
Yeah, but Mike Love has the main one because he has the most identifiable voice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, if you're on your way to see the Beach Boy tonight, the Beach Man, enjoy yourself. Just ahead of Craig. Hello, Don and Mike. Oh, a nice tie-in with Craig Wilson. Here's Homo Joe.
Ah, very good.
Homo Joe.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
We're doing very well, thanks.
Well, I just want to let you know, Mike, don't be upset about being divorced because I got them all covered. Divorced, widowed, and single. You know, and that way you can play the field. So
and,
that's fun.
And you're gay.
And I'm gay.
Right.
Mike, misery loves company.
I know,
but,
Joe.
But the nice thing about it, you know, gay guys always have these good-looking women that want to meet Mike O'Mara when he's single. And there are good-looking women.
Interesting, Joe. Wouldn't that be an interesting turn of events if I ended up hooking up with somebody that that I was fixed up with through Homo Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something about that, the prospect of that, that completely puts me at ease?
Homo Joe being your pimp?
Yes. There's something about that somehow I feel as though that could work. And I would never, ever entertain the idea of somebody doing that. But if there was somebody to do that, Joe, you might be the guy.
I have this nice-looking Greek woman that likes you a lot. She likes you, listens to you on the radio. We actually hook you up at one of your concerts.
Joe, bring some of these women down next week.
Okay, I can do that.
Round up five or six of them and bring them and present them to Mike.
Joe? Okay, all single
Joe,
and all
Joe?
Beautiful. Yes, sir?
Joe?
Yes.
Disregard everything that man
no,
just said.
No. Joe, listen,
Joe,
hold on.
That. I will not do this.
Well, what if we're just here doing the show and all of a sudden Joe comes in and
with
Joe,
we'll have
to get your real pimp outfit. You come in with the five babes.
I have to feather in the hat.
Talk to Charlie. Hold on a second.
Oh.
That's good.
Well, all right. My ulcer's acting up again.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
Yes, and Mike. Hi.
Hey, Mike, I'm telling you something. I never laughed so hard listening to that unscripted thing you did with your wife and your son. That was hysterical.
Oh, see, no, that's where you're wrong. I'm not denying it's hysterical, but it's right here.
It's all in the script. It's all in the writing.
Hold on. Here's the call I really want to say. Guy's been on hold. Now that the phones work again?
Yeah.
54 minutes and 41 seconds.
Wow.
Hello.
Hello, my son of a bitch friends.
You've waited almost an hour.
Yeah, I have.
To say what?
Well, I found out some information I thought you might want to know.
Yes.
I know who Ernie Scott is.
Well, that's worth waiting for an hour if you really have some good information.
Yeah, it's Grant Napier.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what a dick.
Douche. Sacramento douche.
Absolute lame-ass moron. Wait on the line that long for that.
Idiot. When I saw area code 916, I should have known.
God.
You know, your Sacramento caller, and I love you, Sacramento, for as long as we're on KHTK, they never know when to hit the eject button.
You know what's really sad about that? That was 54 minutes he could have been flossing.
Yeah. Working on those Sacramento choppers.
All right, Mike, here you go.
All right.
Neither Mike or I have read this, but Rob assures us it's good. It's real. You can read along this time in the newspaper from USA Today. Not a fake. Craig Wilson.
And now, straight from the pages of USA Today, the final word by Craig Wilson.
Only cure for horse envy is a trigger in your life.
Listen to me. I swear to God, I swear on my kid's life so you know I'm not lying. This is not one of our manufactured ones, not one from his book. Go to the website, usatoday.com. Read along. Feelings of love. Well, growing up, every birthday and Christmas, I asked for a horse. I never thought it was an unreasonable request. After all, we'd lived on a farm with a barn full of hay and acres of pasture. Not in some high-rise apartment where I'd have to take Trigger, that's what I would have named him,
of course,
down to the lobby every afternoon for his constitutional. Feelings of love. And every birthday and Christmas, a horse failed to appear. A bike? Yes. Sleds? Steve? Dozens of sweaters? But no Trigger. The closest I ever got to a horse was seeing one on Halloween.
I'm sure a therapist would have a field day with this piece of information.
At the time, I was too young to understand you couldn't always get what you wanted. I should have realized that it was my first, but certainly not last, encounter with a little thing called disappointment.
I often remind my mom of this flight repeatedly on my birthday and Christmas mornings. And she now admits she doesn't even understand why my wish was never granted. I think she's lying, but I can't prove it yet.
After my horseless childhood, I lived in Saratoga Springs, New York, the storied horse racing town in the foothills of the Adirondacks. Horses are more respected there than the citizens, a fact that becomes quite believable once you live among the town folk for a while. I fit right in. Stayed 10 years.
Maybe being around horses made up for never having one growing up. I'd wander over to the track and watch the thoroughbred prance and strut in the early morning mist. I'll be at once again only a real bird without a horse in the race.
So it's Seabiscuit all the rage these days.
God.
Part of the movie was filmed in Saratoga. I found myself feeling a bit nostalgic for the life I never had. I'm not sure you can feel nostalgic for something you never had, but let's not quibble here. I was feeling nostalgic.
What if, I thought, what if I had had different parents,
for example? I'm convinced if they had given me Trigger, I would have had a more exciting, richer life. I would have raced through fields as if in a Merchant Ivory film.
God!
I'd have gone to better schools, run with a better crowd, worn sporty velvet hats, and no one would have laughed.
Hold on, reset, please, Rob. Reset.
This is a good one.
It is.
And now we continue with the final word.
By Craig Wilson.
Look what a horse did for Ronald Reagan. Maybe I, too, could have become president.
Look what a horse did for Roy Rogers. An even better gig than the White House. Suits with fringe.
Look what a horse named Seabiscuit is doing for an actor named Tobey Maguire. Not that he needs a horse.
Jesus. I know most guys my age think they need a sports car. They're wrong, of course. I see them tooling around town, bald heads in expensive convertibles, cruising for women, or more likely, their youth.
Wouldn't a horse be a far more elegant way to ride off into the sunset?
My birthday is fast approaching.
I'm a firm believer it's never too late to make amends.
Buy him a horsey.
Yeah.
Buy him a horse.
That's strong.
Get him a horse.
Buy him a horse. Put him out to stud. It's so refreshing. I don't know how long it's been.
You had some winners in there.
And so did you. You know, and one of the winners that I think that I know you went with, but worn sporty little velvet hat. That's a good one. A
suits with fringe.
That was my bad.
That was a good one. And of course, Mom.
Of course. I often remind my mom of this slug. Can you picture that?
Hello, Mom. It's Craig. I just saw Seabiscuit again. I can't believe you didn't buy me a horse. I'd wander over to the track and watch the thoroughbreds prance and strut in the early morning mist.
Yes,
look at Seabiscuit is doing for an actor named Tobey Maguire. Not that he needs a horse. And the word he is in italics, you know.
Sure, of course.
Not that he needs a horse.
Man, oh man.
You know, it's been, I don't know how long since, Robbie, you're good with us. How long since we've done a real one? How long?
Probably over 2 months, maybe 3.
Maybe 3 months since we've done a real one.
Well, I think Mom's lying, but I can't prove it yet.
Yes. Wonderful mother.
A bike, yes. Skis, sleds.
Dozens of sweaters.
That's a good one. Thank you, Craig.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen. There you go.
Gives again.
Good. He keeps That's on giving.
Good. That's good. No buzz. Here we go.
Yes, the rain.
Hey, Rob, did you ever email those that we wrote to Craig?
Rob was actually going to email Craig Wilson.
I sent a marvelous email, very flattering, and asking him simply to critique our work. I never got a word back. Oh. Maybe I should follow up.
No, well, why don't you resend it tonight?
I will. I will.
Oh, ho. Oh, ho.
Aha. Oh, and we got Elvis' death day coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Man, do Rob and I have a great one for you this year.
Good.
With new, never heard Elvis stuff.
Wow.
How many albums is it? Three?
Three.
Three
albums. Oh, man, new real Elvis.
Now, listen to this. Three albums. Anybody who's read the book, Elvis Presley, Careless Love,
mm-hmm.
which is it's not as bad as some of the other books. It's very factual about the downfall of Elvis. When Elvis was like doing his, Are You Lonesome Tonight?
Right.
His plus tax, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the time, Colonel Parker had a deal where RCA made all the money for the records.
Mm-hmm.
So he went behind their back and figured out a way to get the money. That if he put out an album of spoken word, Elvis,
right.
as opposed to Elvis singing or Elvis performing,
yeah.
he could keep all the money.
Essentially, it's all the stuff, literally, that RCA cut out of the other live album.
Cool. Like, you know all the stuff like, I will rip your tongue out by the roots.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And stuff like, I want to say hello to Mr. Bill Cosby, who's in the audience tonight. Bill, are you here?
He's all messed up on stage.
Bill, are you here? There's Bill Cosby. He's not here. He's not here. Anyway, we finally found the albums, and we've never played them on the show. We've never had them.
That is something to look forward to.
The Elvis Death Day Show, which this year is...
August 14th.
August 14th.
Hey.
And now let's go to Buzz.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
Me. He made it up.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi, Craig.
You know, tomorrow on the show, just looking at my notes... I think I might have mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. Joe's Book Club.
Yeah, yep. It's going to be fantastic.
Speaking of, and Joe will be reading tomorrow passages from Seabiscuit.
I sure hope the book has fringe on it.
Buzz, what is your lead story today?
Today, maybe Arnold could run for office in Austria.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, and you know we didn't do that bit today, you know we'll do that one tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Right here, Don and Mike Show. You know, we heard it earlier today. We're good.
Absolutely.
We're good.
Mm-hmm.
Those liars.
We're important.
Those bastard liars.
Love you guys.
You rat bastards in your yellow ties.
Bastards.
Blue shirts and your fake painted on tans. Yuck. You vermin. That meeting today sucked, but everything else was very...
The danger zone.
Oh, professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Nice!
The Don and Mike Show.
And you did Walker, it's time for Buzz Now, brought to you by Duramax. Sexual pleasure and performance enhancer.
Someone called for a doctor?
In at 35,000 retail locations. New double strength ultra Duramax. Get it by calling 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Call now 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Be idle on KHJ.
And now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, they're just all a buzz in Austria about Arnold. It's the big topic of conversation in his native country.
The danger zone.
That Arnold might run for governor of California.
California.
The headline on a weekly news magazine there screams, Terminator, a dream candidate.
Oh, my God.
There's over a million kids that are unsupervised. They're below the age of 15 and are unsupervised in the afternoon.
Supervised.
Now, what does all that mean?
Mean.
To us.
Tanks.
It means trouble. I call this the danger zone for children.
The danger zone.
Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon, that's when you have teenage pregnancy happening. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon, this is when crime happens. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon, this is when kids get involved in gangs and they participate in gang-related violence.
Gangs.
I would like to ask every Californian to join me in that drive to make sure that every elementary school and every middle school in California has an after-school program.
You know, I'm sure the big dumb guy's heart is in the right place.
Sure.
But do you think anybody involved with, and that's a website, not a goop one, joinarnold.com,
right.
where you can hear that audio and see the video. Do you think anybody's actually done any research to show that crime goes up between 3 and 6 p.m.?
Well, I think it's obvious that was written by his... handlers.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true. But, yeah, that is also true, that there's more crime.
I call this Californians' potential zone.
Really? I would think that crime would be later than 3 to 6.
Well, at least among kids, you know, but that's the latchkey period. That's the kid,
that
you know.
That is the time when the kids get into kanks.
Oh, into kanks. Yeah. I forgot about that. Right. I forgot it's about kids and kanks.
That too.
It's kids, kangs, and dogs, or both.
We had to have a meeting today, and I have news for you.
Yeah.
You're not going to be, you know what? I can't even do this gag because I don't remember the guy who had the job before.
They changed so quickly.
I don't remember the name of the guy that had before, the guy who had the job before, the guy who has it now.
Easy come, easy go.
That's, I was going to think Joel, but that's not the right.
No, you know, I don't remember. Oh, you know Mr. Fareed?
Yes.
You know the guy that used to be the CEO?
Yeah.
He's not anymore.
No, he's gone.
Oh. What happened to Oh My God?
Oh My God. Put him down for $200.
One.
Oh My God.
How funny is that, really, that I'm trying to come up with the name of the guy who just got fired.
Hello, Philadelphia. Can I speak to Drew? Oh, my God.
Drew,
he's gone.
That proves the point.
The guy that we had the meeting with today, I swear to God, I'm not having a brain fart. Mm-hmm. It's just there have been so many guys that have been hired and fired in this goddamn corporate world we live in now. I can't remember. I wanted Mike to do the Oh My God thing, but I can't remember the name of the guy.
Oh My God. Fired during the danger zone.
I think his name was John Fulham.
That's it. Thank you, Charlie.
Oh My God.
Thank you, Mike.
Mr. Fulham. Well, how's it going?
As for Arnold, one newspaper columnist in Austria wrote, California needs a governator, and who better than Arnold Schwarzenegger? After all, he writes, America is by definition the land of unlimited possibilities. But Austria is where you will find Schwarzenegger's stadium, and his success has made the rest of Austria stop joking about the province in which Arnold was born. Until recently, other Austrians made fun of the way Styrians speak. It's been described as doggy German because of the throaty bow-wow inflection on certain words.
So they're made fun of over there, too.
And today is Arnold's birthday, 30 July 1947, born in Styria.
Styria, I guess. Styria.
Austria.
That's right. And we're all filled with hysteria.
Well, here in this country, the buzz, at least among gossip columnists, is about Ben Affleck's apparent use of makeup. He is.
Hey, he's like Fez Wadley.
There you go. Well, Ben is the new face of L'Oreal Cosmetics overseas, and at the L.A. opening of his new movie, people noticed...
Not you, Fez, Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck seemed to be slathered in makeup at that opening.
And you know, Fez Wadley, famous for being on the Ron and Fez show.
Right.
Follows us here on WJFK. Fez has graciously accepted our invitation.
That's great.
To join the makeover with the... Straight Eye for the Queer Guy.
Right.
Where five straight guys will make over Fez.
But we are not going to dress him up as Teddy Roosevelt.
Here's the joke that I know he pretends. And Ron alludes to the fact that Fez, you know, might be a fudge packer. But I know that he has the fiance in Niagara Falls.
That's right.
I know. See, and that's what will make the joke even funnier, is that Fez isn't really that way.
Right.
I know he's engaged to a beautiful, beautiful woman in Niagara Falls who, for whatever reason...
So he's just, not?
Is, what, gay? No, he's engaged.
Oh, my God.
It's just that she's never able to actually appear anywhere, and he can never get her on the telephone because... The way I
understand it, that is a ruse.
No, impossible, Mike, because the answer is airtight. That every time he tries to call, the lines are down in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe you don't know. Maybe he really is gay.
No, I don't know. I believe.
Maybe it's like the double cross.
No, I believe.
Maybe he's Ernie Scar.
Yep.
Anyway, Fez is going to be. I think next week we're going to do this with those guys. The Straight Eye for the Queer Guy.
Very good.
With Fez.
Well, back to Ben Affleck. MSNBC quotes one witness as saying it looked like he was wearing more foundation than Jennifer. In the sunlight, his face looked really orange. It was creepy. We kept expecting him to look into the camera and say, because I'm worth it.
And That movie opens tomorrow, the one Gigago.
Yes. Right. Jiggly, Jiggly.
How do you pronounce that? I don't know.
How do you spell it, Buzz?
Jiggly, G-I-G-L-I.
Is everyone aware just what a total
Jiggly.
P-O-S this movie is?
Yes, we're about to talk about that.
It rhymes with really.
Geely. Geely. You know, there should be flies flying over each reel of this movie.
There will be.
Geely is really bad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
This is, like, worse than my movies.
Well, the first reviews are out on Ben and J-Lo's new movie, Geely. They're not good. The Associated Press calls it unwatchable. It says the dialogue is clunky. It says the movie has serious tonal inconsistencies, that it stops being fun after a while, and it says the whole movie is way longer than it should be.
Of course.
AP says the way Jennifer looks as she tries to lure Ben into bed will forever change the way you see your Thanksgiving turkey. AP says the movie's not as bad as Madonna Swept Away, more like Mariah Carey's Glitter.
I don't get it. I wonder if when she's ready, she pops her legs up in the air and that little thermometer comes out.
She makes some kind of reference, but apparently it'll just ruin Thanksgiving for you when you see
really?
It. That's what they're saying here.
Oh.
AP says the movie is about like Glitter. Well, it was for Mariah Carey.
Hey!
Well, you know, congratulations. Jennifer Lopez had what was the beginnings of a fairly decent little film career.
She'll be able to rebound, but here's the thing that worries me, because I think she's talented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do too.
And, you know, he's just a dope.
No, it is.
But the problem is that they have another movie coming out together, Jersey Girl. Now, the reason that I think this movie has a chance is that it's written and directed by Kevin Smith, the guy who did Dogma and Chasing Amy Jay and Silent Bob.
Mm. Right.
But still, it's Ben and Jen, even though Kevin Smith is involved.
Well, AP says Geely is a terrible movie, but in spite of that, the Jennifer Lopez is captivating. They still like her, but they give the movie 1 star out of 4.
Speaking of which, and I know I was talking to a small percentage of our audience right now who probably already know this, so I will speak in their dialect. I was given a copy of your script, Superman Lives, for the unmade Superman movie. The script that was written by Kevin Smith.
From the basement of the science building?
Kevin Smith actually was commissioned to write a script for the 5th Superman movie. I was given the script, Superman Lives, by Kevin Smith. And even though the studio dismissed it, I will tell you, and I mean this, it's outstanding.
So you're looking forward to it?
It will not happen. The studio has turned him down.
Well, why don't you raise some money and we'll produce it together?
You would need a lot of money to make Superman fly.
Who would star as Superman? Who would you pick?
Superman? He had Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage is Superman.
He would be super Superman.
Interesting. All right.
Well, Affleck still has an eye for the ladies. The Inquirer says he was caught on the security camera of a strip club in Vancouver the same night NBC aired the sappy interview with Ben and J-Lo.
Hey, maybe there's some hope, Buzz.
The paper,
that is a ray of sunshine.
The paper says he carried on with strippers that night in the club and later at the house rented there by fellow actor Christian Slater.
Oh,
that's right.
There you go.
The tabloid says Ben gave each girl cash and said, quote, keep this quiet, keep this just between us. Ben's lawyer says it's all a lie and that Ben is weighing his legal options.
Ben got busted. Hold on. Jen?
Yeah, hi.
This is not Jennifer Lopez, is it?
No.
This isn't J-Lo?
No.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi, what can we do for you?
The line from the movie is she's trying to seduce him, and she lays down on her bed, and she opens her leg, and she says, it's turkey time. And he says, what do you mean? And she says, you know, gobble, gobble.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds pretty consistent with the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
apparently
so. Classy.
Jennifer Lopez, gobble, gobble. Meanwhile, her insides are coming out.
No,
she's got her legs spread.
Stuffing.
She's, hey,
two of the most powerful behind
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Can I have some glazed uterus?
Yeah.
Where's that sweet potato?
Oh, God.
Oh, and now they're dumping the hell out of this.
They're
dumping the hell out of this. I mean, I swear I'm doing some funny stuff here about Jennifer Lopez.
They're going to dump it again.
Being used in the various Thanksgiving, you know. Hey, great yams. Where's some uterus? It's delicious. Great uterus. Try serving.
Oh, God.
Serving?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Two.
two of the most powerful behind-the-scenes men in show business.
Great stuffing. What's your secret?
Well, Jennifer Lopez served.
Two of the most powerful behind-the-scenes guys in show business may be teaming up. Miramax movie mogul Harvey Weinstein and music mogul Tommy Mottola are talking about collaborating on movies and Broadway shows. Mottola's people deny this would give him first crack at any CD soundtracks to come out of those shows. I wonder if that's true.
Hello, Tommy. I'm Harvey Weinstein.
Hey, Harvey, how are you? I'm Tommy Mottola.
I think it would be a good idea, Tommy, for you and me to hook up on this project. I think it would work, don't you, Tommy?
I'm starved. Why don't we get some turkey and give me some yams with uterus on them from J-Lo? She's not like Mariah Carey, that one-faced bitch.
Well, who do you think you are to talk about this?
I'm Tommy Mottola. And who are you?
Harvey Weinstein.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Hey, I ain't no Jew.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Hoffman.
This cranberry sauce tastes period.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. Oh, my God.
Here.
Oh, my God.
Here is the best Jerry Lewis story to come along in a very long time, I think. Jerry Lewis.
Pass the period, please.
More period?
Mmm. Jerry Lewis says Marilyn Monroe could never have fooled around with JFK or Sinatra because she was too busy spending time with him.
Oh, I knew it could be good, and it was great for Jerry because, and you got to understand, I'm not schizophrenic, but when I write, I'm writing to him, and I know him better than anybody.
You mean?
Lewis told Bill O'Reilly on Fox this week that half of what we hear about Marilyn's sex life is bull-ass. He says the buxom actress never did any of the Kennedys. Quote, I know, because she was involved with me, okay? And it was nice, by the way. And end quote.
And incidentally, Jerry, kind of impossible to prove now, being as they're all dead.
Right. Quoting Jerry, troubled, but a marvelous lady.
A comic starts here. He goes up here to the epitome for 10 years, and then he goes away. I've gone here, went there, stayed there, came here, went there, went there. And I've been on this kind of an up and down, a longevity that not too many performers can say they had. Performers. 72 years of being in front of the public? That's about 62 more than you're supposed to have. But I cheated. I started at 5.
Go F yourself, douchebag.
That's the most appropriate tape I've ever heard for
you. Marilyn Monroe had a wonderful love you.
Troubled, but a marvelous woman.
Then there's this story about a former groundskeeper for Liz Taylor. He says he got fired.
You mean he worked on a pubic hair?
Well, sort of.
If she has any.
Stick around. He says he got fired because he refused to have sex with the butler. The gardener says the butler sexually assaulted him. Now, the gardener says this happened after he confided in the butler that he was having trouble getting aroused enough to service Liz sexually.
I can help you, Buffy.
The gardener says he then told the butler he'd started using Viagra so that even though he, quote, had to jump the old trampoline, I feel good and horny, end quote.
Oh,
that's, the butler did it.
That's when he says the butler simulated a sex act and fondled him.
Mm.
Butler. Butler.
It just doesn't get any better than this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Please, no back talk. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, a couple of things during the break.
I'm going to embarrass this man right now.
Uh-oh. Well, first, I was in the bathroom doing what I always do, looking at myself, admiring myself.
Screaming.
Yeah, and saying to myself, damn. I lost, like, now when I got on the scale, 67 pounds.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing a suit today that, like, 2 years ago I could never have dreamed of wearing. And then I came back in the studio, and we were talking about someone who works here who's very, very fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I should mention, because I talk about my weight loss all the time, that Mike has lost how much now?
I was sticking my stomach out. I was being great. 30 pounds.
Wow.
And I saw it today when we were waiting in the parking lot to go into this the BS meeting with these corporate jerks. Mike said, look how long it's been since I've worn this suit. And seriously, pulled it out. I mean, I didn't look in like to see his wiener or anything, but well, pulled it out and got room to put both hands in there now. So
yeah, yeah,
I want to make sure that, you know, when I'm here blowing my own horn,
right,
that I well, I'm not going to say
blow mine.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's weird. I always said when I was larger, mm-hmm, I would wear clothes that wouldn't be tight, that would be, you know, mask that, I mean, you don't wear stuff that's going to be too tight. Now I have a situation where I'm wearing stuff that makes me look fat because it's just so baggy.
So baggy.
Well, go buy some smaller clothes.
I'm 10 pounds away from doing that. I'm 10 pounds away from, like, doing a little suit thing myself.
Props to you both.
But great, it's fun. Job. Yeah, it's fun. It's great. We both found our way to do it, and it's working.
And as long as we're on the topic, mm-hmm, Buzz,
yes, you're a little too thin.
You're a little too thin, Buzz.
We're starting to get a little concerned.
Yeah. I think so, Buzz.
Yeah. No, I'm fine.
I'd like you to take a blood test, please.
be happy to do that.
No, see, I know that that's not the case, but right. Buzz, you are, if possible, too fit.
Mm-hmm. Really?
You're too fit.
I don't think you can ever be too fit.
Well, look at the rest of us. Even yeah, me. Now, I've lost 67 pounds. I still weigh like 208, some ridiculous figure like that.
A lot of that's muscle, I'm sure.
No, well, still, I'm still a fat guy.
Well, I like being a fat guy.
Mike's lost 30 pounds. He's still a fat guy. Look at Rob.
I put all my weight back on, and I'm still fat.
Even Charles Broyhill.
I noticed.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Who is always the best in shape in this group.
Right.
Always the guy who runs track.
Yeah. Best athlete, sure.
Should have seen him last night at this thing. I am not kidding. He's got a paunch.
Yeah, he's got a pop belly. It's a married man syndrome. Yeah,
married guy now.
Buzz, the truth is that you simply have to gain some weight.
Right. But to fit in, you mean?
Because even if you gain 20 pounds, mm-hmm, you're still going to look so much slimmer than the rest of us.
Sure.
But now, compared to us, mm-hmm, even with our weight loss,
right,
you look like a guy on Schindler's List. do us all a favor tonight. Uh-huh. Go home. Get yourself some Ben and Jerry's.
Some right.
You know, have yourself some.
Knock yourself out.
Do whatever it is you do to work up an appetite.
All right.
And just, you know, tell Marcia, call Papa John's, send over two large ones with everything.
Then go to a carnival this weekend and eat some funnel cake.
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
All right.
Because I know you rarely hear that. You're just too skinny.
Mm. Wow.
Too skinny to work on this show.
I gotcha.
That's have some funnel cake.
I'll try.
No.
Okay, I won't. It's not about you. It's about...
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
And
hey.
Go, Buzz.
I've got your irony right here. One of the guys, we talked about the fact that so much time went by between the first death-predicting stories about Bob Hope and the time that he actually died. Turns out one of the guys who wrote one of the obituaries for Bob Hope actually died before Bob did.
That's funny.
It's good. The obituary that ran in the New York Times, this guy died, the writer died 3 years ago. Quoting an editor, not much has happened in Bob Hope's life since.
Oh, man.
Who says dead men tell no tales.
Mm-hmm. Buzz?
Yes.
I am greatly offended. You have lost a listener.
Long time listener.
Well, you have lost a long time listener.
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
How dare you, Mr. President? It was February 3rd when a dead body was found in the mansion of legendary music producer Phil Spector. And when the case goes to court next week on August 5th, they still won't have a case against this guy. Prosecutors say they're still waiting to hear from sheriff's deputies who say they're still waiting to hear from the crime lab. In other words, they have nothing on the guy yet. That means the case will be delayed at least for another month. In a recent interview, Spector implied the B-movie actress he had picked up in a bar may have shot herself. Deputies say no, but they still have no case against Spector.
Spector.
I was talking to one of my friends that works at CSI in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Siri, not like this is not a gag.
Right, of course. I know it's...
Rob, find the music, though.
I am.
I mean, I want to tell you what the guy said to me. That you're talking about the body?
Right. Yeah, that they found in the lobby of the mansion of...
The guy said to me that they were doing all kinds of extensive testing. And then he said...
Don, I have to tell you, that corpse tastes like period.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Going back to the previous joke.
That's what we needed.
Don?
Yes, Mike.
It's not a period. It's more like an exclamation point.
Our Homeland Security Department says terrorists...
Mike? Yes?
Oh, no.
Boy, am I red-faced.
Don?
Hold on, let it queue up. I'll listen to it. Re-queue.
There you go. Quiet.
There you go. Mike, go ahead.
Don?
Yes, Mike?
You need to go with the flow. Buzz has one?
I think both of you today have really... No?
Go ahead.
I think both of you today have really earned your wings.
I want to tell you, lose some weight.
All right.
Or gain some weight.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, I got one. If you're going to earn your wings, you might as well pull some strings.
Hold on. Rob's got one.
More? Oh, yeah. Good.
It's addictive.
Got to queue up. Hold on. We got to put more of these CSI things on this tape, Rob.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob.
You two watch it, or you're going to get a dishonorable discharge.
Okay.
Our Homeland Security Department says terrorists may be plotting suicide hijackings between now and the end of summer. They say the targets include the east coast of the U.S., along with England, Australia, and Italy. More specifically, the targets are said to include the obvious national symbols, economic centers, and any place that could produce a lot of casualties.
England can kiss my ass.
Quoting the document obtained by CNN, the plan may involve the use of five-man teams, each of which would attempt to seize control of a commercial aircraft either shortly after takeoff or shortly before landing at a chosen airport.
You know, I've heard this buzz. It was on the news last night as well. At this point, don't you think, profiling and everything aside, unless five guys who look like Uday get on the plane, even if five guys who look like George Clooney get on the plane.
Right.
I'm just using him as...
And they say in this report that they might use disguises.
Okay, so let's say five normal guys get on this plane.
Mm-hmm.
Five guys.
As soon as these five guys make their move,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, there's some heroes on those planes.
Sure.
You better believe it. And you know what it is? And what it really is life-saving. It's not like these guys are going to prevent... The plane from hitting a target. They want to save their own lives. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Everybody on that goddamn plane is going to fight for their lives because they know what's going down with this stuff. You know, I think the day of this being a surprise and being caught by surprise is gone.
You know, you got us. You got us once with this thing with guys on planes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get us again.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you're not, because out of all the people on the plane, there's going to be at least five, and I'm guessing five times out of them, probably everybody on the plane is going to want to jump up and say, hey, you're not taking this. If you're taking this plane down, you can take it down right here.
Right, yeah.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to take this plane down into a building or into a government area.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, hey, terrorists, think of something new.
Yeah.
Because we've already been through this one with you. Yeah, but I'm, you know what
yeah,
I'm saying, because I'm not asking for it.
Right.
I'm just saying we've been through this already.
Right.
We're ready for this. I think any American... who's on a plane, if this was to happen,
mm-hmm.
would have no hesitation.
I think you're right.
About taking a bullet or running into one of these guys and just
absolutely.
Say, you know, F you. You got to do what those people on the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania did.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to say, do it.
Yeah. Well, finally, a Chicago area bank is apologizing to everyone.
And you know what? I can picture right there. You get the guy and you give him one and you go, pow!
Yeah.
Then you go and you lick your wing and you go, mm. It tastes like period.
Finally, a Chicago area bank's apologizing to everyone, but especially Jews. Being in the suburb of Glenview, the bank has a lot of Jewish customers, so the bank has good reason to be embarrassed. In its newsletter, the bank's president referred to Adolf Hitler as an economic leader of the 1930s.
Oh, my God, not again.
Hold on. There's more. He said Hitler was the only major leader at the time who successfully resuscitated his country's economy, while others, like President Roosevelt, could not. He also said Hitler, quote, led German workers to work harder than anyone else in Europe.
Rob, how long did it take you to move all of your money into this bank?
Oh, God, I'm doing it right now.
Jesus.
Oh, got it.
The bank has since apologized for what it calls this mistake. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No!
No! No! Yeah, that's it, Mike.
Oh, my God.
I want to say hi again to all the jerks at that corporate meeting today.
Hello,
jerks.
dick faces.
Wow.
That's it. We'll see you tomorrow. Well, with the all new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 Yeah, and no meeting. No
Yay.
Meeting tomorrow. Thank God. And if they're thinking about it now, we don't want to have a meeting about the fact that we talked about the meeting today.
Right.
And Alan, I mean this. If I'm on my way home and I see your number on the cell phone, I'm turning it off. Know this, it will be on, but if I see it's you, I'm turning it off.
And print it.
You know what I don't want is a, hey, pal, how'd you think it went today? I thought it went very well today, pal. Hey, pal, now I know the stuff you're saying on the air today is just for shtick. It's just a bit, pal.
No, we really hate
you. Well, no. Okay. Hey, Rusty.
I'm earning 6% interest.
It sucked.
Everybody.
When we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.